touch it. It's bananas. Bananas.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Boom. All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy. You want to fuck that. Black me out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Worms cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Thursday, February 16th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, and making his triumphant return to Yakuza Kick Radio, my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Nothing, J-Cat, getting over fucking being sick for like the last week and a fucking half. It's been fucking crazy. It's fucking started last fucking week. It's not a week and a half. It's been 2 fucking weeks.
Man.
Been fucking sick for 2 weeks. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm back and better than ever, baby.
All right. That's what it needs to be. So, man. We're here. We've got a lot of shit to talk about, man. So much has transpired over this past week. We got Raw. That was the last Raw before the pay-per-view, I believe.
Right? It's like crazy. There was a pay-per-view. Go figure.
CZW anniversary show.
Sorry.
Boy, do I have a lot to say about that.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, just so many different things, a lot of different.
And there's some other funny things that I'm gonna tell you that you're probably gonna go, what the fuck is this? So a what the fuck moment tonight. So a bunch of what the fuck moments is gonna happen. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think I'd start out the show with something that's a little unwrestling-like. But I mean, I have a lot of points to make about this topic and a lot of different things to say about it. And so I figure I'm going to start with this. Now I'm going to start and end this topic with these words. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston. Whitney died, I believe it was Saturday night, 48 years old, okay? Now, that's the nice point I'm going to start out with. Tremendously talented woman, one of the top, singers of our generation without question. No ifs, ands, or maybes about it. Now, having said that, I can say this. I have to do a little bit of defending and a little bit of regulating on this situation. Now, she she passed away. Now, although that's very sad, personally, and, you know, and anyone that says that this is shocking is being ridiculous. They're being completely ridiculous to say that they were actually shocked that Whitney Houston died. She was expected to die for the past 15 years. Now, in my personal opinion, it's sadder to watch someone that talented die for the past 15 years than it is for them to finally leave, you know, this earth and you know, be, I guess, relieved of all the pain that they were putting themselves through. You know, and the life that they were leading, the second that they finally leave, I don't think that that's anywhere near as sad as the past 15 years that she destroyed every bit of talent that she had, you know, and, you know, disrespected herself, her, you know, her career, her accomplishments, and, you know, obviously anybody who loved her and all of that. And that's, I mean, that's a path that she chose to take. And that's something that nobody else could get back to her. Nobody else could put herself in that situation other than herself. People want to blame Bobby. People want to blame whatever. It is what it is. Fact is years ago, I mean, you've seen pictures of Whitney, and we're talking years and years ago, and she just looked like a walking skeleton. Now, right then and there, that's like a death of a person to me right there. There's very little times that you see that person bounce back and become, you know, what you remember them as. So to see someone live for that amount of years, I think, again, I just got to keep saying it, but is far sadder than actually seeing them leave this earth. So, again, you know, I feel bad and all of that stuff, but I'm not shocked. I'm not overcome with sadness or anything like that. Seeing somebody slowly kill themselves, you know, over the years is something that, you know, is sad in itself, far more so than anything else. So anyway, there's that. That's my one point. My other point is, I don't know where the fuck this came from. Now, before I get into this, I could say, you know, preface it with this. I do understand that, you know, the troops over the years have not been, you know, given the proper respect. They don't get the same amount of acknowledgement as people in Hollywood do. They don't get the same amount of acknowledgement in life or death. I mean, they go out there, you know, they risk their life to, you know, save people and to defend this country and stuff like that, and they deserve every bit of respect that they could possibly get, right? That I agree with. That I'm 100% on board with it. And, you know, the guys that are veterans and come back over here and they're homeless, it's a crime. I mean, that shit is terrible. Again, I understand every single bit of this, but some kind of shit is going on here that I don't understand. Where Whitney died, and I have seen at least, at least 10 to 15 different posts with pictures of dead soldiers and then Whitney Houston, and saying, why you don't care about the soldiers? All you care about is Whitney Houston. She died on drugs. They died for your country. Da-da-da-da-da. And, like, more or less bashing anyone who gave a shit about Whitney Houston. So, and for the most part, it wasn't people that are, at this point, outpouring tremendous tributes. They're reflecting like they would any other star that passes away. For whatever reason, they've jumped on this enormous train of, we need to show you pictures of all the dead soldiers and then try to make you feel bad for caring and knowing about someone like Whitney Houston, who is a legendary performer. I don't agree with that shit. And like I said, there's a lot of guys, you know, who die overseas, who die, you know, in the line of service, and those guys do deserve every bit of respect. I'm not saying that. But right now, they're treating Whitney like it's fucking, you know, like the kids in Columbine's parents are fucking mourning their kids that shot up the school. They're treating her like she killed the fucking troops overseas. And I can't back that. I really can't. As much as, like I said, they don't get the respect due, and then she, you know, as much as she did do this to herself and all of that stuff, let's not forget that she didn't do shit wrong as far as, you know, against the troops. She didn't do anything, she didn't, you know, live a career saying, fuck war, that shit means nothing, if they die, they die. She, you know, on some Dolph Lundgren shit. She just did what she did. She went on her downward spiral and stuff, but now that she's gone, that doesn't make it right for everybody to be like, yeah, fuck her, though, because there's troops that are dying. Like, I don't really understand what that has to do with her. I mean, you won't be mad about troops not getting the fucking shine and shit. Start yelling and screaming about how much coverage Justin Bieber's little bitch ass gets. Yeah, I mean, do that type of thing and get mad about just media coverage of everybody alive or whatever the case is over the fact that guys are dying overseas and women are dying overseas and, you know, in the line of service. Get mad at that shit. Don't let a fucking Hall of Fame performer pass away and then you get mad because people are mentioning that she died and they liked her at one point in their career. That, to me, is fucked up. So that's my rant on both sides of the things and the entire situation. And I just had to, like, get that whole situation. I had to, like, vent a little bit on because both sides of those things really, really fucking hit a nerve with me. So, again, like I said, I would start it and finish it with that. And I'll finish it with that. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston. So, did you have any comments on the situation there, Eric?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, Saturday I was fucked up and I was fucking sick as shit, man. I fucking slept all day. You know, so I wake up Sunday morning. And first thing I see was the Whitney Houston. I was like, holy shit, you know. The last time I slept that much, and this is no joke, Jay, the last time I slept over 14 hours that weekend. The last time I slept that much, Osama bin Laden died.
Oh, wow.
So it's crazy. Like, every time I get, and I think there might have been another time, but it seems like every time, like, I sleep like crazy, somebody dies. So I guess I gotta stop sleeping that many hours.
Nah.
But the whole thing with, like, the fucking, somebody posted on Facebook that the flags were flying at half staff or some shit. I don't understand that. Like, where the fuck, I mean, I don't understand. Like, whose call was that? Like, seriously.
That I don't know. I mean, that part I really don't understand. I don't know. I can't back that or anything like that. I don't know.
It seemed
honestly,
I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to say it right now, and you know, you'll agree with me. Half-mass, excuse me.
Right.
I said half-staff. But I'm about to say this right now, and it's a fucking, you know, it's a good way to fucking recap this weekend.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure you're going to say it as well later on. Kind of a shitty weekend. With everything going on. I don't know.
Well, ups and downs. You know, what can you do? Honestly, that's the governor's, call.
What governor?
You know, the governor of Jersey. I mean, I don't know where were flags flying like that everywhere.
I'm not sure, but I did hear about the flying half mass, and I don't know where that was. That's why I was confused.
Yeah, I definitely heard about it happening in Jersey, and I would imagine that comes down to Chris Christie. I don't know. I don't know, but. That, to me, isn't as big of a deal. Obviously, there's other people who are a little more tied into it that are probably, you know, a lot more affected by which way the flag's flying, left, right, up, down. You know, that's fine. And, I guess that's their issue. But my thing overall is just, like, the comparison to her and the troops and this and this and this. There's a lot more other things that you could, you know, say are getting a lot more attention than the troops. And, you know, maybe you should address that before someone dies and then you pile onto their gravesite just for the sake of doing it and saying that we need more attention. Of course you do, but why right here? You know, I mean, what is the significance of that? There's no comparison if you put, and Amy Winehouse, it was a talented woman that went, you know, early and everything like that, but, let's put it in perspective. I don't remember them piling on this deep about fucking Amy Winehouse and shit. Who was a more fucking talented artist? Who was a more fucking legendary performer? Of course Whitney Houston was. So, I just didn't see that same type of shit going on for that. So that's the reason I'm just saying some shit about it because it just doesn't come off right to me, you know, to pile on that heavy about something, you know, someone passing.
Right, I'm just...
Yeah. You were saying, or...?
No, I mean, I lost my train of thought. That's why I stopped, and I was like, oh.
All right. Jeff Hardy's rocking some kind of contacts, or no, his eyelids are just painted white, so he comes out sleeping, and you think he's got something on his eyes. I don't know.
Hey, real quick, let's bring up. I wanted to talk about this. I talked to you about this earlier, yesterday when we talked.
Right.
Safety in wrestling. It's becoming a kind of a. There's been a lot of safety things, you know, people getting hurt, and I don't know if you want to talk.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling is a high risk sport. Period. I mean, there's people that fucked up. You know, this and that. Over the years, a million things have happened, and people get hurt left and right. So it's really nothing new. It's nothing that has changed for, you know. If anything, there's just more exposure on wrestling now, so you hear about it a lot more. But it's honestly nothing different. And obviously, you know, moves have gotten more high risk and that type of thing. So, you know, more high risk, more risk of injury. It's just bound to happen. But, go ahead, lead into, you know, what you were saying.
No, I mean, with the injury for, I mean, not the injury, but the almost injury with R-Truth, not last week, with that flip over the top rope and The Miz not even catching him, and then going into the whole Jesse Sorensen, Shima Zion debacle that happened.
Yeah, well, the thing with Truth is a missed spot on a dive to the outside, which, again, like I said, happens a million fucking times in wrestling, especially on the fucking indies. It was one of those times, prime time television, you know, you seen him dive to the outside and look like he just, I mean, really didn't get any type of spot or any type of brace on that fall. He's a big-ass dude. Apparently he was able to take it without any repercussions. And that's good. I mean, it's obviously something that, you know, could have came worse out of that. But, again, I mean, it's happened a million times. No surprise. And, you know, life goes on. The next one you're talking about, Jesse Sorensen caught Shima Zion or Zima Eon or however you want to say it, depending on his company. He caught a moonsault off of him. The way... Zion, he came down, was his knees were more or less at the point where you would have to catch him. Now, from what I've seen in the past, you know, through indie wrestling and stuff like that, the moonsault spot like that, you're not going to really want to be behind the guy. You're going to want to be in front of the guy. And, like when he lands. And it seemed like this guy was somewhere in the middle and then got a little bit too close to, where the guy was going to make impact. And he kind of ducked his head down, so he took it on top of his head. And he took, like, pretty much a knee to the back of his head, neck area, and ended up, fracturing bones in his neck, you know, breaking his neck, more or less. Shit happens. I mean, personally, if I had to blame it on somebody, I would say it was Jesse Sorensen all day. And obviously, no one wants to point blame at the guy that got hurt, but honestly, I think that I didn't see anything that was that crazy or reckless. If you're flipping backwards off of the top rope, it's going to be what it's going to be. The guy behind you, well, just as you've seen with Truth, is either going to catch you or not catch you. If he catches you in a way that breaks his fucking neck, I can't see how that could possibly even be... Ion's fault. I can't, you know. People want to call him unprofessional. Blah, blah, blah. I can't see it. As far as anyone who had a problem with him doing his gimmick and his taunting, and you know, he's a super heel right now, and he just continued with the program. He honestly, you know, bought the guy a lot of time to fucking recover and you know, get to his feet or whatever the case is, because you don't know the extent of the injury at the time. And, he played up to the crowd to the fucking fullest. And, he honestly did his job. I mean, he could have just completely stopped and was like, dude, you okay? And you just destroyed your fucking image as a bad guy. The guy's hurt whether you do that or not. So I don't really think it makes any difference in the world for you to completely stop and be like, dude, you're all right, da-da-da. I mean, you could be a complete class act once you pass that locker room, you know, you pass that curtain to go in back into the locker room. This guy could fucking sleep by his bedside in the hospital for all we know. But the fact that, you know, he continued to play his gimmick means nothing to me because it's a performance art and this guy continued to perform. That's just the type of shit that, you know, kind of needs to happen in order for the show to go on. I mean, don't forget that fucking Vince continued to run the show after Owen Hart died in the fucking ring. And, you know, like mid-card, and fucking sent guys out there to
that
fucking perform
crazy.
For the rest of the show. I mean, let's not fucking forget that, you know, and like, oh, shit, this guy got hurt. He doesn't know the extent of the injury, but why is he still acting like a bad guy? Like, he don't give a shit. Like, well, come on, dude. You know, and I don't know. It's just my view on the thing. I don't know what you thought about the spot. That's really the only part of the pay-per-view I saw. I just caught the, you know, YouTube, whatever of it. And
it was crazy. It was fucking, like, ridiculous. My God, like you said, like, how the fuck? I'm actually trying to, like, while I'm on the phone, like, fucking, like, I'm actually doing, like, the motion that he should have done, but nobody can see me at home. So,
yeah.
But he leaned into it, like, and, like, he should have just, like, threw his hands up and, I don't know how to explain it. It was just like, that was a fuck-up. And it's crazy with the fucking opening match of the show.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm not a wrestler, so I can't explain, like, hey, here's exactly how you should have done that. But, like, as seeing it from a fan's standpoint, generally the guy would more or less take the moonsault to, like, the upper body slash, like, shoulder at most. And, like, yeah, you do put your hands up semi-catch. You kind of slow the fall and take a bump to it, as if the guy took you out with the moonsault. So you're more or less help embrace their fall, and half the time people land on their feet with those moonsaults anyway to the outside. And, helping them more or less land that shit. And then you fall to get the fuck out of the way of any, like, severe, like, crunch impact like this guy took. So, I mean, that's just for me viewing it and stuff like that. That's just how I viewed it. But again, I ain't a wrestler, so I don't know, you know, if this dude was stepped too, you know, close, too far back. It kind of looked like he was a little too far back, and, I don't know. It just, shit happens. That's all
right.
I can say. I really can't give, like, full blame to, you know, Ion or anything like that. And again, I mean, he tried to spot him. If he fucked up, he fucked up, but he sure as shit didn't sidestep him like the fucking Miz did the truth. So, I mean, shit happens, you get injured and shit like that. And I don't know. I mean, I hope the guy good recovery, you know. I hope he gets, you know, better back in the ring. And, you know, he's probably going to be pretty hesitant about spotting somebody to the outside again. It'll probably be a 2 or 3-man spot next time that shit happens.
Right,
if he gets back
right.
in the ring, you know, hopefully everything works out well for him, but some shit, you know, maybe he'll just have to avoid that type of thing in the future altogether. I don't know, man. But
right.
yeah,
do
it's
you
crazy
go over
shit.
Do you want to go over the TNA pay-per-view now, since we're on the topic?
I mean, you can.
Yeah, I'll go over that real quick. I have, like, results and stuff like that. So that was the opener. Nice way to open
the show. Way to start the show.
What a fucking way.
Let's get ready.
Yeah, what a fucking way to start. So, Then they ran Robbie Eve. This is for the TNA TV title, one of their 50 million TV championships. Robbie E wrestled Shannon Moore. Robbie E defeated Shannon with a DDT. Remember that back in the day when that used to be a fucking, like, go home finisher, like, boom, the DDT.
Raven, Jake Snake.
Hell yeah. Now it's fucking, you know, normal move, and in this case, it's the fucking finish. Go figure. For the TNA Knockouts Championship, Gail Kim wrestled Gail Kim with Madison Rayne took on Tara, and Gail Kim retained the belt.
The Gail Kim over Tara?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Matt Morgan and Crimson defended the tag team championships against Samoa Joe and Magnus. I don't know. I don't understand where
Magnus,
the hell they...
Oh, it's that Brutus guy, right? Brutus,
yeah,
Magnus.
Well, he's going by Magnus
now. I guess
now.
They dropped the Brutus.
Yeah, just nice. He's going by just Magnus.
Maybe Hogan got mad. He was, you know, using his boyfriend's first name.
That's funny. Nobody supposed to know about that, though. Anyway. Well, yeah. Samoa Joe and Magnus won the TNA Tag Team Championships.
Look at Joe with gold.
Yeah. He's finally being used. Yeah.
Yeah.
But another week. Austin Aries. See, this is what I don't understand. So the first match was for a number one contendership for the X Division title. The second match was for the TV title. The third match was for the Knockouts Championship. The fourth match was for the Tag Team Championship. And the fifth match is for the X Division Championship.
Okay.
Like, champion, like every fucking match is for a championship, it seems. How stupid is that? TNA X Division Championship match. Austin Aries versus Alex Shelley. Austin Aries retains the belt. It seems like it would be a good match to see.
Sure.
Aries and Shelley.
Yep.
Here's a match without a title. AJ Styles versus Kazarian. And Kazarian gets the victory with the fade to black. I'm only going off results, so for everybody that... Gunner with Eric Bischoff versus Garrett Bischoff with Hulk Hogan. That fucking sounds like a great match to watch. 5-star, Meltzer. Gunner takes home the victory with a DDT. I don't understand. Two matches with the same finish. Go figure.
Bullshit! Magic!
Then the TNA Championship match is the special guest enforcer Sting. It's Bobby Roode versus Jeff Hardy versus James Storm versus Bully Ray. And Bobby Roode retains the belt. That's
right.
The TNA pay-per-view. So if you spent money on this pay-per-view, kind of stupid.
Well, I would sum it up saying that anyone spent money on the TNA pay-per-view,
you're all a bunch of dumb cunts.
That's a pretty honest interpretation of my feelings on you guys. So that's what that is. Well, let's do Raw. I want to save my CZW business for the main event of the evening, more or less, I think. I have so much to say about that. Oh, well, while we're on TNA, let me also mention that Ringcock King apparently is outdrawing live shows and pay-per-view buys over anything TNA has ever done. So apparently, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but they're blowing them away. So apparently the TNA product sells better in India than it does in America overall, like hands down. My question is, why not just move the fucking company then? Because honestly, hey, this has been, how many years has this been in existence? This bitch has been a failure since it came out, and now... they're fucking blowing shit up overseas. They're blowing shit up in motherfucking India. So fuck, man. Do that. Because they're going bananas for this shit over there. They're doing more or less the same shit, too, because they ain't fucking... They got the same fucking bullshit talent. Matt Morgan and Scott Steiner and all of this other garbage. And the fucking fans are just going ballistic for this shit. And they're putting these guys over and... the pay-per-view buys it through the roof. These guys are losing money left and right in America. So what's the logical fucking thing to do? I don't know.
I don't know either.
At the very least, they better make sure they ship their fucking pay-per-views over there. They get a stream to go from over here to over there before they even worry about the fucking pay-per-views over here. Because no one gives a shit about this. Over there, they're selling like fucking crazy. These motherfuckers are in little sand dunes watching this shit on fucking, I don't know. I don't know, man. Fucking Bollywood is blowing up over this. are on fire. Fuck it. Sell. I mean, do what you do, man. Whatever makes that shit work.
Okay, so, you know, you mentioned TNA, and we also have more TNA to talk. Dixie Carter fires Vince
Russo. I don't get enough. Yeah, I'd heard about that. I mean, I guess we'll see how it goes. Jeff Hardy's wearing a lot of pink these days.
Are you sure he's not gay?
Well, no, I'm not sure of that. But, yeah, I mean, Jeff's got, like, pink arm tights underneath his, well, I guess it's like a two-tone joint. I don't know. He's got, like, a zip-up tight fucking joint with pink sleeves, a pink belt, pink fucking paint on his face. So, I don't know. It seems like a whole lot of pink right now going on. So, I don't know.
Apparently, Brandon Jacobs is supposed to be on TNA tonight.
Oh, is he? That's great.
Yeah. I really don't give two shits about that, but...
Brandon Jacobs. Doesn't he play for the,
The New York football cock-sucking fucker fuck me in the ass Giants!
Yes,
doesn't
sir.
Doesn't he play for them?
Yes.
That's right. Okay. Just, I had to go
Stan's
back to argue
that
to
float.
See if he could remind
Stan's, me. Stan's still cleaning up that float.
Oh, man, this dude is... You know, he's still parading, dude. He's still standing there with this little tiny Giants flag on the side of the street where they were parading, man, just waving that flag. There's pieces coming off of it and shit. It's been rained a couple of times. It's getting soggy, but, hey, man, his spirit does not break his spirit whatsoever. He'll be there until fucking preseason. He don't give a fuck. He's already talking about what's going to happen in training camp. He's factoring in the way that the guys are going to break the line with that heavy-ass ring on the hand and shit. He's like, man, he said the swim move is going to be even better next year with the heavy ring. I mean, he's factoring this all in, man. You're talking to a...
He's getting excited.
Oh, he's all about it.
Yeah.
What can you do? Yeah. So, yeah. Vince Russo, yeah. All right.
What is your thoughts on that?
Nah, I don't give a shit. TNA is fucking garbage. It's like... Some weeks, I do the show, and I don't even turn the TV on. And I sit there and look at my fish tanks. Or fucking just look at my cat's sleep. Or just fucking nothing at all. And just do the show that way. And some weeks I turn it on and I have it on mute. And I have it on mute tonight. And I don't see any reason why I should. But I do. The one thing that definitely helped keep me tuned into this is their repeated botches. And it just, you know, the shooting star press on the face, you know, 2 weeks ago. That shit was reason enough for me to watch TNA on a regular basis.
Who did the shooting star press on the face? I'm trying to... Who was it?
It was against Austin Aries. I really don't know the fucking guy's
name. It wasn't Jesse Sorensen, was it?
No. No.
Sorry.
No.
I had to bring that up.
No. But, he did a shooting star press on the face, and then, like Brock Lesnar back in the day, and then Aries kicked him in the face, then Aries brainbustered him, and then finished him with a neck submission. It was fantastic stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was that.
Hey, it's PWX, Pro Wrestling Extreme. Is that the one that Frank Goodman runs?
Yes.
Okay. RF Video... Rob Feinstein decided all of a sudden he wants to start releasing his DVDs. So.
Oh, that's awesome, because he regularly calls him a pedophile and talks about him fucking little boys on his radio show. Which is true, and I have no problem with saying that as well. And I honestly, like, you know, I even seen him on Saturday, you know, at the CCW show. Dude, I don't give a fuck how popular he is with the boys and all of that shit like that. I can't look at that fucking guy without my stomach turning. I can't. I mean, a guy who's clearly trying to fuck teenage boys, I'm sorry, I can't look at him like a serious fucking adult fucking human being. Like, I can't look at that guy and be like, yep, he's all right with me. Like, there's no way, you know, I'm not looking to fucking fight him or any dumb shit like that. I don't have any, like, personal grudge, but I just see him, I'm just like, ugh, fuck. Just, it's just gross to me. I mean, I just see this dude, and I'm just like, look. Fuck, how is this shit acceptable? He just comes and hangs out like nothing happened. And they got to the point, too, like, people will make jokes about that shit, and he'll make jokes back. Like, it's just like his gimmick now. It's like, yeah, remember when I said this? Like, wow, really? How is that shit right? The worst thing to happen in that situation is it happened fucking, like, 2 years too soon. Because when that fucking, when all that, what you call it, happened, the, To Catch a Predator shit happened. When they finally caught on and got, like, in touch with the local authorities and shit, then you got to see the fucking cops just, like, Goldberg tackle these motherfuckers from, like, the neighbor's lawn and shit. That's the one thing we lost, because he had a good run to the car going, and they got him taped going to the car and all that dumb shit. But if they could have just angle tackled him in the rib cage, oh, shit, that would have been the shit right there. I mean, it just, it happened too late. That was the only thing to keep it from, I think, sticking. For some reason, people gave it a pass because they were like, well, he never got arrested. Like, ah, shut up. He would have if that shit happened, like, a little bit later, because they just didn't set up the sting operation with the police. They just were like, let's expose these motherfuckers to the public, and hopefully the public will, you know, not support these motherfuckers working again. And then it just, too many of the wrestling fans and the wrestling, community just accepted him back, like, it's all right. It's just like, it's really not, dude. It's really not. You know? He had, like, a fucking teenage son, and some dude was like, hey, I got wrestlers. You like wrestling? I'll pretend you said 18. Like, oh, Jesus. Oh, it fucking hurts my stomach. Jesus Christ. Jeez, you want to be gay with an adult. Jesus. Fucking
Jesus.
Wrong. Yeah, I can't even give him the Zandig drop. I can't even do it. Can't do it.
I didn't can't know they suck shit that high.
I can't do it.
Go fuck yourself!
So, yeah. Anyway. Okay, great. Frank Goodman gets to hang out with the boy toucher. That's fantastic.
All right. On to Raw. You want to go into Raw now?
Yes. There's a Raw happened.
I actually, I'm going to tell you right now. I watched Raw, and I didn't like the beginning at all. I thought it was fucking, how the hell do you not? And I'm going to go into this rant. I'm getting sick and tired of Raw starting out with fucking promos and fucking bullshit and talk about not, who cares? I want to see wrestling to start the show. Why don't they, like, go back to the old days of, like, having a match start the show?
I don't know if that was the old days in WWE.
Well,
to be honest
general,
with you,
because everybody's doing that shit now.
Well,
fucking promos,
I mean,
and who cares about those? I want to see wrestling. I paid to see wrestling. I did not pay to see fucking 23 fucking minutes of talking. Okay?
Okay.
I'm tired of this.
I do understand that, but let's also keep in mind that, I mean, really, like I said, WWE was never, we're going to fucking start the show and give you some fucking wrestling. Like, we're going to blow the fucking doors down. I mean, if you're talking old school WCW that opened the show with fucking, you know, Ultimo Dragon and fucking Psychosis is the opening match or some shit like that, then you can go, okay, well, yeah, that's the wrestling. I loved starting the show, like, you know, Brian Pillman and Jushin Thunder Liger, like, okay, that was an awesome start to the show. That was the first ever Monday Nitro, that match.
Yep.
The first ever match on the first ever Nitro, like, you know, that type of thing. Like, they
From
used
the
to
Mall
start
of America.
The show with they used to start the shows with fucking unbelievable lucha stuff, just crazy high-flying shit that it honestly still holds up today 100%. Like, it's not dated whatsoever. That shit is just as good as it ever was. So, having said that, whatever. WWE was never that those guys. You also got to remember, a couple years ago, they did the same, starting the show talking for a half hour, but the fucking guys they were putting out there couldn't talk, couldn't say shit, couldn't do shit. They were just... Elimination Chamber 6, right?
What was it?
Elimination Chamber 6 people, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, the thing here is like, they would leave fucking Triple H out there, and, you know, Triple H has his thing, and Triple H, I guess, can quote-unquote talk, but he'll bore the living fucking shit out of you if you let him stand there with a mic for a half hour. That's just bottom fucking line. That's just what he's going to do. There's nothing entertaining about Triple H talking for a half hour. Just as there was no fucking entertainment in Triple H and Shawn Michaels talking to each other for a fucking half hour. Garbage. Absolute garbage. I don't remember Shawn Michaels grabbing a fucking mic. As tremendous as he was as a fucking wrestler, I don't remember him grabbing the mic and just fucking, oh, wow, that was phenomenal. I can't wait to hear him talk for another 20 minutes. Like, I don't care. I don't give a shit. The thing that stuck out to me as, you know, as corny as the whole all podiums across the whole ring, I'm like, wow, there's fucking 6 podiums in the goddamn ring right now. The thing that stood out to me, and I sat back and I said, wow, there is 5 fucking people in the company right now that have great fucking mic work.
Yeah.
At a minimum of 5 people in the company right now that have great fucking mic work. Kofi Kingston is not a great mic worker. He's in the match. He'll be tremendous in the match. He's a great athlete. Great guy to put in a match like that. He'll do tons of athletic shit that'll continue to make that match really good. But you look at the other guys in the match. You got Jericho, to talk his ass off. Punk, talk his ass off. One of the best in the fucking business right now with the mic. You got The Miz, can talk. You got R-Truth, can fucking talk and entertain and do tremendous different things. And you got Dolph Ziggler, who's definitely coming to his own as far as a talking personality. He was one of the funniest guys up there on fucking Monday.
Yeah, definitely.
For the most part, that's a lot of youth there. And, you know, Truth's not, you know, the youngest guy. Jericho's not the youngest guy. But The Miz is still generally a pretty young guy in the business, even though he's been here for quite a few years. You know, Punk and Ziggler, I mean, this is a youth movement of guys who can talk. Guys are going to be a personality. And that's different than, you know, you used to have a guy that came into the company. They would do their thing. They would have some pretty impressive matches. But the WWE would drop them like fucking nobody's business as soon as they found a chance because they weren't the personalities in the company. They weren't.
Right.
They weren't the guys who were going to fucking push the company through talking and angles and gimmick and taking up time with the mic and stuff like that. They kept relying on the Triple H's, the Undertakers, the Rocks, the Stone Colds, and Jericho was one of them too, but Jericho could, you know, do some different things. Now, not only is this youth movement coming through in the ring and title pushes and this and that, they are actually stepping out and looking like these are the personalities of the future. And that's not as easy as the WWE to just abandon. And that's something that makes me pretty happy about the product. Even though, you know, there's some of that old shit they're not letting go of so easy, and it's going to continue to haunt us until these guys go out to pasture, but it's refreshing to see that this youth movement is actually getting turned into the angles, into the gimmicks, into the mic work, into the personalities of the WWE. And that's something that makes me smile. It might not be the best show in the world today, but, you know, the guys that we're watching, the guys that, you know, we've seen as the top talent are going to be the future of this company, and that's tremendous to me.
Right. But yeah, I thought it was funny the way that Kofi was talking. Like, he's like doing that accent. I don't know if that accent shit is fucking fake or what.
That's a work.
Yeah, I figured that. Because it sounds so like a work. He's like, I'm like, oh my god, this sounds horrible. What was that?
I said, he's just faking.
Yeah. But then they, you know, after that whole segment, you know. And I thought it was fucking ridiculous when Laurinaitis comes out.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, I fucking, you know, wanted to thank the WWE board of directors for the support. And fucking he just leaves. He just didn't say anything else. It was kind of like ridiculous. Interrupting and just saying. But then they had Jericho and Kofi Kingston, which was pretty good, you know, for a short match. It was good.
Yeah.
And Jericho gets the victory with Codebreaker. And then they do the whole Zack Ryder thing, and him and Cena. And Cena tells him to stay in the locker room, and yeah. And then Randy Orton wrestles the Big Show.
I can't say that I watched that match at all because I hate the fucking Big Show, and I really don't have that much to. I don't have any effort for Randy Orton. Randy Orton doesn't do a whole lot wrong in the ring, but he, I don't know. I don't really care. If he's in there with somebody I give a shit about, then I'll watch it, but it's like his opponent is the deciding factor on whether I watch the match or not. You know, he could definitely turn out a good match if it's up against somebody that I give a shit about, but if it's the Big Show, then I'm out. Fast forward.
And Daniel Bryan comes out and fucking costs, hits Big Show with the belt.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible.
No.
And then the whole Shawn Michaels Triple H segment.
Yeah.
That was next.
Yeah, that's long. It's drawn out. That's bullshit. I don't care to see either one of these guys on my television anymore. You know, like I've said about a lot of guys, the legends need to stay legends, and there's a certain point in your life where you can only make it worse. You can't make it any better. You've created yourself a fucking shrine. And now all you can do is fucking fly over and shit on top of it like a pigeon. You know? That's pretty much all you could do, is you could play the role of a pigeon, you could fly over your shrine that you've created through your entire career, and you could just shit on it. And that's what I feel like Shawn Michaels will do if he just decides to hang around on TV, waste 20 minutes of time on the fucking mic, with his fucking cowboy hat, and his fucking just some of the gayest gear you ever see a fucking man wearing anywhere in public. It's just... I don't know, man. It's just, there was a certain point where that shit was okay. It's not okay anymore. And I would just rather he just stayed away. Stay away. Do your thing. Enjoy everybody calling you one of the best wrestlers ever. There's a good group of people that call Shawn Michaels the best wrestler ever. Enjoy that group of people. You know what I mean? Like, there is no reason in the world for you to come back and just be like, now I'm going to spend 20 minutes on the mic boring fucking people. I'm going to get in the ring and talk to this other boring motherfucker about how we're friends and I know him better than this and he should wrestle the other old guy and it's not right for him to not wrestle the old guy because he wrestled the old guy. And this is just like a fucking... like a recess war in the old folks' home. It's ridiculous. It's just like you're like, why don't you want to play Stratego with Gary? You know you can beat Gary in Stratego. There's no way you give him the title of Stratego. You got to put up a fight. You're a Stratego champion around these parts. What do you mean? You ain't going to tell me no to Stratego. What are you going to do? You're going to sit in the corner and eat your pudding? You're going to just eat your pudding while he wins Stratego against everybody else in this place? You better step up. Gary's not Stratego champion, you are. You know, that shit don't fly. Get the fuck out of here with this shit. Can't hurry this shit up. I ain't down. I'm not down. You're going to let him just roll over you in Battleship? That's not like you. That's not like you at all. Checkers, Stratego, Battleship, all of it. Just letting him take the title, are you? That's nonsense. That's nonsense. The next thing you know, these whippersnappers will come up in here and they won't even remember your name. Defend your title. I can't take it. I can't fucking do it anymore. Cut it out. Cut it out. 1 minute I'm refreshed with the youth movement. Next minute I'm like, here we go. Oh boy.
Yeah,
just put it in perspective. I mean, this is pretty much going to be The Undertaker's last match. He's fucking 19-0. He just has to win this to be 20-0 in WrestleMania. He hasn't wrestled since the last WrestleMania. Everybody knows he's fucking stayed in the business just for the sake of going to this last one. Okay. We're all good with that. That's fine. Okay, you're going to wrestle Triple H again. Well, I've said from the start, the only way that this fucking goes down is Hell in a Cell. And if they don't do Hell in a Cell on this, they're dropping the ball severely because no one wants to see another Triple H Undertaker match anyway other than Triple H.
Right.
And maybe The Undertaker. I don't fucking know why he would want that, but that's my opinion there. And they got to do it Hell in a Cell. They got to do that last joint Hell in a Cell. Because, shit, nobody has been in more Hell in a Cells than fucking Undertaker and Triple H combined. Nobody.
But would they do that at WrestleMania?
But why not? This is fucking Undertaker's last go. End it. Hell in a Cell. Fucking take him to his limits, do whatever the fuck, and then put Triple H down like a sick dog. That's it. You know?
I don't know if they're going to do that. I don't...
You got
cool
to.
It,
this is your last thing. You're just going
to
have another straight match? What are you going to do, last
man
standing?
I think that's what they're going
to do. So we can do 38
that.
Fucking finishers and shit? What the fuck else do you do? You just put on another straight match? Really?
Well, I could definitely see them doing that.
Well, I could definitely see me hating the fuck out of it and shitting on
right,
it. It's
right,
the following Thursday on Yakuza Kick Radio.
But, yeah, after that whole fucking debacle.
And, okay. Speaking of The Undertaker and that whole thing, you also saw a vignette of him doing shaving his head because he doesn't have any fucking hair to begin with. So he's been wearing the weave into his hat for, you know, since they've been showing him coming back, you know, the 2 weeks or whatever it is since he's come back. He's been wearing, you know, hair fucking sewn into his hat. And that's awful nice of him. But now apparently... yeah, they shredded that gimmick and had him like he's freaking out since the last, you know, the last WrestleMania. Now he shaved his head because he's mad at Triple H. So, all right. So now he's bald. Everybody can get used to that because they were either gonna like try to get him to grow his hair like long enough where they could weave shit into his like short hair. Or they were just going to get over it and fucking, you know, shave your shit, so. And that's what they did, so. That's fine. Yeah. That's the Undertaker saga.
And then R-Truth wrestled Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that, but.
Yeah, that wasn't
bad. I skipped that match.
That wasn't bad. I don't mind either guy. And I actually enjoy both guys. That wasn't bad. It was quick. And honestly, they kept most of these matches pretty quick because they do have the Elimination Chamber, and they didn't want to overshadow anything because there is a lot of talent in that match, and you know, you really don't want to overshadow anything. I mean, it's bad enough to run an Elimination Chamber the month before WrestleMania. Like, it's not that good. Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania. Wow, what do you follow that with, guys? You know?
The April show's usually horrible.
Maybe they could do an anniversary show the next month, because that doesn't seem to matter shit for anybody. So.
Oh, anyway. Wrong company.
No, well, I'm just saying. It's just a pattern some people, you know, choose to take.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah. Then they do this whole thing with Eve Torres and Kane.
Yeah, back of the ambulance, stuff in the ambulance. She jumps out the ambulance. This is this part, right, with Cena?
Yes, yep.
Jumps out the ambulance, makes out with Cena. The fucking Jersey Shore cripple is sitting there in a fucking wheelchair, all shocked, looking like a fucking idiot. And now he's mad. He's wheeling himself more aggressively than normal, moving at maybe a half a mile per hour, a little faster than he was before, or rolling with urgency. You know.
Right.
And I just like, and I actually didn't put up the clip because I didn't think about it till right this second, but like, started things like that. You see me rolling, they hating. That's what pops into my head when I see this motherfucker with him gritting his teeth and shit and just like wheeling himself away in the fucking wheelchair. Fuck him. Yep.
And then
okay. What happened? What else happened?
Then CM Punk wrestled The Miz, and he defeated The Miz.
Yep. Not bad.
And then there was the final segment with Cena and Ryder.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the thing is, of course, John Cena on the mic for 10, 15 minutes is tremendously boring and gay, and it really feels like the last hour of the show happens in like the last 10 minutes. Like the rest of it, you know, can go pretty fast, especially with a DVR. But then when you're like, I want to see how this show ends, and I kind of want to see what the fuck goes on, so I'm just like, alright, fucking let's get to it. You know, what the fuck else we got going on here? Alright, so now I'm seeing him fucking blab his mouth, and his mouth just keeps moving. So now eventually I just hit the little fast forward thing on my DVR. Then I see Zack Ryder wheel himself out there. He wheels down. Well, no. He wheels to like the fucking ramp. Why he doesn't wheel all the way to the ring is fucking beyond me. Just to draw it out longer. So he wheels to the top of the ramp to leave his prop there. Then he takes his crutches, and he limps his shit all the way down to the bottom of the ramp. Now he drops his crutches. Still don't understand this. Then he kind of hops over to the he puts them on the ring apron. Then he hops over to the ring steps, gets on the ring apron, doesn't pick the crutches up. Now all of a sudden he can walk okay. He's just making this, like, I'm trying to sell this pain look, but, like, he's not doing a good job at it. And he kind of, like, walks, like, and just kind of makes this, like, out of shit face. And he's just like, this hurts, Now he stands in front of him, and he smacks Cena. And I guess Cena likes that type of thing, because then he takes his shirt off. You know, he's like, all right, you want to get naked? So then he does that. Now he takes his shirt off. And then dude's like, okay, this hurts again, it still hurts. And then he hobbles up to him again. Then he goes to slow motion smack him again, and Cena blocks his slap and then like pulls his hand up like I'll punch you in the face. And now Zack Ryder is appalled and just shocked by this revelation that someone might punch you for slapping them twice. He's like, oh my God, how could you? And now he takes this fall onto the ground. And then he looks up like, how dare you? Get away from me, he tells him. And then he grabs his crutches, and he goes back up the ramp like a beaten man. Even though he's smacking a fucking, he's got neck brace, crutches, the whole fucking shit. He's all sorts of hobbled. And he's smacking this street shark of a fucking, whatever random fucking cartoon character on fucking HGH is, you know, whatever you want to call him. This fucking big boat up retard. And he just smacks him in the face like, you ain't doing nothing, buddy. So now he's appalled that the guy might be angry about it. So he goes up the fucking ramp. Oh, mad now. The guy almost punched me just there. Yeah. So then he sits back in his wheelchair and here comes Kane. And Kane ghost rides him off the fucking stage, and this was the coolest fucking bump Zack Ryder has ever taken, honestly. He took that shit through the stage. That shit was garbage. That was like a 1-foot drop. He took the shit off the landing, what the fuck am I? I'm lost track of fucking word. The loading dock. He took the shit off the loading dock, but there were pallets stacked up. So again, it was only a 1 foot drop. We're like, still seeing him in fucking camera view. Like, well, okay, here he is. He barely fell off the fucking anything. You know, like, so they went out of their way to make, you know, the least fall possible for this guy throughout. There was no severe drop. I don't give a fuck if you fall 3 feet and there's boxes that you end up falling on. Well, at least it looks good. He fell like 1 foot every single time. But the fact that he ghost rode him off the fucking joint and he fell, I don't know if they orchestrated that shit or not, but when the wheelchair folded up as he fell and then the fucking wheel spun in the air, that was the highlight of the whole shit. That shit felt folded up like he wasn't crippled anyway, motherfucker. And it just, the shit just folded up like for the next motherfucker. And the wheel just spun like the spinner belt. And fucking, the dude just fucking laid there and shit. And I thought that shit was funny as hell. And, you know, it worked for me. That was fine. So. That was that. Yeah, man. What was your thoughts on all that?
And I'm going to say this again, you know, after the pay-per-view is over next week. Nice way to build up a fucking angle. What the fuck are they going? Where are they going with this angle? Nobody cares about Zack Ryder. I mean, people care about Zack Ryder, but I don't care about Zack Ryder. I don't give a crap. And this Kane thing, like, wouldn't it be Zack Ryder turning heel? Because he keeps getting attacked?
Are you drunk, motherfucker?
But seriously, no, like, it makes no sense for Zack Ryder to get attacked and then Cena turns heel. It doesn't make sense for Zack Ryder to turn heel and be like, I'm tired of this crap. You know? Something like that.
What's he going to turn heel and do? Get fucking razor blades on his wheelchair?
What
is he going to do?
What is he going to be? Like, what is he going to be? The jobber? Keep getting beat up? And then he's going to become a jobber.
Oh my god, that's like what he always was his whole fucking life.
Yeah,
but
the way that they build him, and it's just, you know, why him? Why does he get that spot?
I don't know,
man. Why
does
he get any spot in the company? That's what I don't understand. Why does he get any spot in the company?
But as far as turning him heel or turning him strong and all this, they're hurting him more every single fucking week. There's no way he just nips up and he starts beating people's ass. Like, his fucking neck's hurt, his fucking legs are fucked up, they just ghost rode him off the fucking stage. He can't be any better next week. He sure can't have a match at the fucking pay-per-view. I every time I see him get thrown off of some shit, I gotta be like, well, we're done with him for another week, and the next week, he's fucking back and getting thrown off some more shit. So I'm just like, dude, I guess that they'll have a triumphant fucking return for him, and he'll probably wrestle Kane at fucking WrestleMania, honestly. I don't give a fuck about it, but that's probably what'll happen. And
Paul in the chat room put, isn't Cena supposed to be feuding with Rock since they hyped the hell out of him versus Rock at WrestleMania?
Yes, yeah, but The Rock isn't going to be there. So he's either going to feud with a fucking Titantron video of The Rock fucking flying around on top of a bee, or he's going to fucking wait for The Rock to show up at WrestleMania and fight Kane for until then. And that's what he's going to do. But, and they kind of pepper in with Kane saying, you're not going to be ready for The Rock unless you embrace the hate, blah, 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 you know, that whole bullshit. So it's kind of... They're kind of, like, talking about it somewhat, and they keep showing the vignettes nonstop, but in the same token, they can't do shit with The Rock, because he ain't showing the fuck up. Like,
right.
The Rock's flying on a bee, bouncing apples off his chest, and fucking John Cena's showing up. So, you can only do so much with a guy that's not there. So, yeah, I don't give a shit about any of it, including The Rock match, so I really don't give a fuck what they do. But, But yeah, he said he'd rather see Cena feud with a TV than this garbage. Well, you know, if I could see Cena do some, like, you know, diving moves through a fucking live television. That's fine. I'm all good with that. Yeah. That's Joan's in the chat, and she's saying, Ryder's going to be in a body cast next week, and the week after that, an iron lung. I agree. And then somehow, he's going to get revenge. I don't know how. He's going to get one of those fucking, those wheelchairs, like Stephen Hawking. And he's going to be hitting the buttons, and he's going to have buttons to launch missiles. He's going to be able to talk through the buttons, and he's going to be able to launch missiles. And one, all of these motherfuckers is beat. Cena's beat, Kane's beat, and I don't think I'm, you know, and he won't be back in the ring either. He could just launch missiles from the fucking entranceway. That's fine. Nobody that I give a shit about is feuded with him yet, so I'm all good with it. Launch away. Set weapon to self-destruct afterwards, too. I don't give a fuck. There's, like, oh, man. There's got to be, like, 20 bitches in the ring right now on TNA. I just looked up and I just saw, like, a whole bunch of bitches in the ring. And I just, first thing, I just thought,
motherfucking whores!
So, that's just quick thought I had. Is that pretty much all we got WWE-wise?
Yes.
Okay. Gonna take a break, because I have a lot of talking about CZW business to do, and I've been talking all this time, so I could use a little break on my fucking mouth. And I'm gonna come back and talk about that, so check the joint out, and I'll be back in about 4 minutes.
This is what I brought you, this you can keep. This is what I brought you, may forget me. I promise to depart, just promise one thing. Kiss my eyes and lay me to
sleep.
Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, Lord. I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men. Many, 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 many men wish death.
Sunny days wouldn't be special if it wasn't for rain. Joy wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for pain. Death's gotta be easy, cause life is hard. It'll leave you physically, mentally, and emotionally scarred. This is for my niggas on the block, twisting treaties to God. For the niggas on lock, doing life behind bars. I don't see only God can judge me, cause I see things clear. Quick these crackers to give my black ass 100 years. I'm like Paulie and Goodfellas, you can call me the Don. Like Malcolm by any means, with my gun in my palm. Slim switch sides on me, let niggas ride on me. I thought we was cool, but you want me to die, homie.
This is what I brought you, this you can keep. This is what I brought you, may forget me. I promise you my heart, just promise to sing. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep.
Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, Lord. I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me.
This is what I thought you need me. This is what I thought, so think.
Wish death. Every night I talk to God, but he don't say nothing back. I know he protected me, but I still stay with my gat. My nightmares, niggas keep pulling texts on me. Psychic said some bitch done put a hex on me. The feds didn't know much when Pop got shot. I got a kite from the pins that told me Tuck got shot. I ain't gonna spell it out for you motherfuckers all the time. Are you a literate nigga? You can't read between the lines. In the Bible it says, what goes around comes around. I'm on shot, me 3 weeks later he got shot down. Now it's clear that I'm here for a real reason. Cause he got hit like I got hit, but he ain't fucking breathing. Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on
eyes and let me do the thing. Doesn't mean my enemy's okay. Defend me from those that rise up against me. Deliver me from the work of iniquity. And save me from the bloody men.
Yeah, man. So that's that.
Who is that?
Well, that's 50 Cent, but it's a remix of Many Men, and it's kind of hard to find. But I've been at that shit for a couple of years now, honestly. Can you pronounce, seeing as you are our Japanese correspondent, can you announce Chris Hero's new name?
Oh, yeah, of course. Give me 1 second. I have the paper right here. Cassius Ohno.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What the fuck is that? It's Kassiusohno. And then you could put a comma like Paul did and then put Jesus. Because... That's only right. That's only right. You know? I mean, Cassius Ohno.
Jesus!
Sounds right. I mean, if they added Jesus to it, I'd pop. Like, Cassius, oh no, Jesus! We just had like, they had it patched into the mic system, so every time they announced them, Zandig would just scream. I mean, that would work. It would definitely work.
It'd be awesome for Zandig, because then his voice would be in WWE.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I have a show to talk about. Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. So, listen. First of all, this is the 13th anniversary show, or so they say. This is supposed to be a big deal. And as I posted, you know, before the show, and I sent messages and everything else, and trying to remind the talent, try to remind the people, you know, the powers that be, as they might want to be called, that this is a fucking anniversary show. Not only is it an anniversary show, this is a time where you're going from building to building. Your home base is no longer your home base at the moment. You have to impress in Jersey in order for them to give a fuck about going to some other joint in Northeast fucking Bumble, Philly. And then, you after that, you don't even know where the fuck you're at because it's to be announced. So, as of, you know what I mean? This is the shit here. So, you got some shit lined up. Most of it don't make sense, but if you put on fucking banging-ass matches, well, then maybe everything will come together. Okay, right. Sure. Fine. I go to Voorhees, New Jersey, which I have now realized that is Voorhees, New Jersey is a very rich town. I've summarized. It is made up of Jews and hockey. I am not a Jew, and I don't like hockey. I don't mind Jews. I'm not disliking Jews, so don't mistake that quote right there, because I have no problem with the Jewish people, but I could see a good amount of Jewish stuff. I mean, they had the buildings. I seen some buildings coming through that motherfucker that was just like, what the fuck is that? And then I would see, like, a name that kind of looked Jewish at the end of the name of the building, and I was like, oh. But they got some fucking centers out that motherfucker. They got some joint. They got a gym out that bitch that looks like a fucking high school. They got, like, picture windows like a dope high school, not some bullshit. Like, they got like picture windows out the front
And you see, like, a balcony in that bitch with, like, treadmills overlooking the balcony where they're looking out the front of the building and my punk ass coming across the motherfucking highway and shit. Yeah, I mean, that's some crazy shit that they got going on in Voorhees. So on top of that, they got this fucking Flyers Skate Zone. And that sounds like some old bullshit. That's that Flyers Skate Zone sounds like some old, yeah, some motherfuckers practice there. Some motherfuckers, they like to do a little bit of hockey, this and that. They should call that motherfucker a fucking compound or a Flyers Skate Extravaganza or some shit like this. Because they must have, like, fucking 5-6 full-size hockey rinks in that motherfucker. Like, you don't even see all that shit walking in unless you go into a certain hockey rink, right? You walk in, they got, like a pro shop in that bitch with, like, fucking, like, all, like, official Flyer jerseys hanging in that bitch that you could buy and shit. Like a full, like, well, I mean, let's start with the fact that, like, when you walk into the building, there's automatic doors. The doors open like fucking shop right now, motherfucker, for you to come in. How many wrestling shows you walk in, the fucking doors just open the fuck up? That's the first one I've been to, shit. So, you go there and you're just like, oh, shit. And then you walk in and you just see, like, ice all around the motherfucker. You see, like, a rink over to the left, and you see some other shit. And you see, you know, this motherfucker's a compound. This bitch is huge. And then you're like, shit. And then you see a couple dirty motherfuckers walking to your right, and you're like, oh, that must be where CCW's at. So I start going that way. And then you see, you know, a couple people you recognize and this and that, and you're like, oh, okay, good. So now I'm walking over there. I stand in a little line and shit, and moves up a little bit. And now it gets to the point where we're pretty much standing in front of a fucking, are they a little league hockey game? Are they a junior league? I don't know what it is, but it, like, they're all dressed up like Flyer colors, I guess some in white, some in black, and a whole lot of orange shit and stuff going on, which, again, I don't like hockey, but, like, I know the colors and shit, and I like orange, so whatever, fuck. But I see these motherfuckers, and you know, they doing this little bullshit hockey thing, and I'm just like, wow, this is a, all right. And you just standing in line too long not to pay attention. You start watching these little motherfuckers and shit. And, like, the one team was just getting trounced. You just kept seeing the motherfucker, like, try to stop that shit, and it wasn't coming close. Like, they were just, like, just knocking the fuck into that fucking goal. And I'm like, these guys suck. And I'm just hoping that, like, one of these kids just, like, drops the gloves and they start punching each other, because they be doing that in hockey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't do that, apparently. And I don't understand why, because if I was a parent of a hockey kid and shit, and I have girls, so that's not going to happen, but if I was a parent of a hockey kid, I'd be like, yo, you better get mad at some point in this bitch and start punching that motherfucker. I don't give a fuck if they kick you out of the game or not, because when you make it to the big league, they're going to punch you in the face. And you better be ready to punch people in the face, because between now and then, well, you're either going to be ready or you're not. And when they punch you in the face, you ain't going to be on the fucking ice on national TV and shit. So you might need to get kicked out of a couple games this season. I'm just saying. That's what you're going to have to do. Get mad. They don't let them pull no dirty shit. Punch them in the face, you know? So that's me. Obviously, I didn't get my wish. They don't punch people in the face. You know? I don't know. I'm not cut out for a hockey parent. So it's good. I have girls. So, and they ain't got no cheerleaders or any of that bullshit, because, you know, again, it's hockey. It doesn't make any sense. I guess they would be in, like big, thick-ass coats and, like, Ugg boots and shit if you had cheerleaders for hockey. They'd be, like, big bubble coats and fucking Ugg boots and fucking puffy-ass scullies and shit like this. I don't know hockey like that, but I'd imagine that's what the cheerleaders would look like. but anyway. So we finally get into the joint, and this is obviously, like, the skate, you know, to my dismay, it's not CCW on ice. No, I knew it was going to be on ice, but this is apparently, like, the roller hockey rink that they rented. So it's, you know, it's still got all the lines and all that shit, and they got, like, the barricades around the, you know, thing with the glass, or plexiglass, whatever the fuck they use, and that whole shit. So that, But, you know, as I'm describing, like I'm saying, like I'm obviously starting off describing the building before I'm describing the car, but, you know, I got to get take each step by step. And just really like a high caliber, like, fucking top-notch building, like, that shit isn't built for fucking what CZW is, and not even what fucking indie wrestling is, to be honest. Like, there's huge crowds of people just chanting douchebag shit, like, in anywhere, and the building is so fucking big, they wouldn't even, it's like you're sitting in the fucking closet yelling about your fucking, your socks and shit. It doesn't even matter, like, they don't give a fuck, they don't hear you, they don't, it's too fucking big, there's too much shit going on there. So that's what's going on when we're going in, okay? I go in. My first thing is I start, you know, fucking my camera and shit like that. I'm having no luck with the lighting. It's just not working out for me. So I tried a few things and this and that. It just didn't work out for me. I ended up just putting my camera away. Didn't take no pictures. So I was just like, fuck it. That is what it is. I'm just going to watch the show. And especially as the card started to go, I started to get more, like, annoyed, and I was just like, well, I'm just going to put my camera in the fucking car at intermission. Okay. So let's start the show, 13th anniversary. Show starts out with Greg Excellent defeating Niles Young. This is Niles Young's in-ring return to the combat zone since being kidnapped for months by Men's Club USA. Okay. Here's my problem with this. I'm going to bounce around a lot on this, but here's my problem with this, because I am also going to, throughout this, give my opinion on what should be happening with a lot of the talent in CZW, because I'm not just a douchebag that's going to come on, you know, like a lot of the fans. I've read the message board, I've read all of that shit that they used to do, and everybody just likes to shit on stuff, and no reasoning, and no rhyme or reason, or no, well, here's what you should be doing. It's just a lot of just, fuck you, get rid of that guy, he's an asshole, you're a cunt, fucking, you know, like, that's stupid shit. That's not my gig. I've been invested in this company as a fan for fucking, I don't know, what, 11 years now? 10 years? Yeah, no, 11 years now, yeah. Last year was my 10 year. Yeah, 11 years now. So, alright. Greg Excellent versus Niles Young. Greg beats Niles Young. Okay. The week before that, they put Greg Excellent over the longest reigning CZW fucking heavyweight champion in fucking Drake Younger. In Drake's home in Indianapolis. So, in Indiana. So, first off, that shit don't make no motherfucking sense. And now he's back to, like, dark match status. So you put him over Drake, and then now he's over Niles Young. That honestly, the dude has gotten himself in better shape. He has. Niles Young used to have been, you know, nah, he was never like a fat slob or anything like that. But he wasn't always in the tightest shape ever. And he's actually, you could tell that he's actually been working on his, you know, his core and all that shit. And that's cool, but I still really have no interest in any of that, you know, as far as entertainment goes. And maybe he can do something with himself. I don't fucking know. We'll have to see, but as far as right now, he's still nobody in the company. And until he proves otherwise, he's not going to be anybody in the company. So for you to have a guy that just went over the longest reigning champion in the company up against Niles Young, what the fuck are y'all doing? So, and he's playing up to the gimmick of Niles with the Men's Club USA and doing a bunch of gay spots with him, which nobody cared about the Men's Club USA gimmick, so you're playing up to a gimmick that nobody cared about a week after going over the longest reigning CZW champion. Okay, that makes tons of sense. Thanks. You know, you guys are really doing well. So after that, and I believe there's certain ways to use Greg Excellent, and I will get down to that after the show. After I run down the show, I'm going to run down a couple things that I have ideas for, you know, people in the company, things that I think that worked, things that I think that didn't work, but I digress. Immediately following the match, Mia Yim comes out, says, we're not done. Aerial assault next month, tables, ladders, and chairs. And, fucking Greg makes a bunch of gay jokes, just ridiculous, non-funny shit, and tender love and care and all this bullshit. No one cares. Like,
he keeps saying hair instead of care, and that's like TLH, and it was ridiculous. But either way, I'm really fucking excited for that match because these guys tore that shit up. I didn't see the January one, but they tore that shit up. And, you know, the last one I saw, and I'm all for it. I think that TLC match is going to be fucking bananas. Like, seriously, like, no bullshit. These guys get in there, and I said guys, but this combination of the two of them get in there, and I really think Mia Yim is unbelievably talented. But either way, Greg goes in there, and he does his fucking thing. And you watch that fucking match, and afterwards, I guarantee you, after that TLC match, you're going to be saying some shit along the lines of,
"The shit is bananas! Bananas!
Yeah. Now, also Chris Rock shit. And, that's that. So I'm all good for that. But again, listen, when you come out with 13th anniversary show, don't let this come off like a build show. And you go ahead and tell me afterwards if this was or wasn't a fucking build show, and, okay, right? Next up, Kimberly comes out with the Runaways. And she pretty much says, "I'll challenge any one of you motherfuckers in the blackout." Now, I'm paraphrasing because I don't know what she quote said because I'm already annoyed. Because they're already telling me something better for another show than happened in this show yet. And I'm just like, oh, okay, great. Next show is going to be good. Oh, okay, how about this show? So then she comes out and she says some shit. "I'll fight any one of you motherfuckers, this and that." So Ruckus and Chrissy and Alex come out. And they're talking some shit. "Yeah, this one could kick ass, this one, da 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 da." And then Alex more or less like, "Yeah, I ain't got no problems getting domestic," or some shit like this. Some old race. I don't know if you call that stereotypical or,
There is no racial bigotry here.
So, there's that, and then, they pretty much make that. Like, "Yeah, okay, we're going to wrestle then." And he just, like, kicks the living shit out of her real quick. You know what I mean? Like, just kicks the shit out of her a few times. He kicks her square in the head, pins her, like, it's just, yeah. All right. Then they have, that pretty much leads right into the Azrael and Bandido defeating the Runaways to retain the CZW Tag Championships. This match was full of fucking what looked like completely unplanned offense. Like, there was a bunch of shit that, seriously, like, tag team moves between both teams. Like, really, like, both teams would do some shit and, like, "Oh, this might be something." And then it was like, "Oh, I don't think that ended up as you planned. I don't think you wanted it to end that way. It didn't look as good as it should have." Like, it just, shit that just, like, fell apart. Like, they're like, "Oh, where are they going with this? I guess nowhere. What's next? Okay. What else you got? Oh, fucking, what the fuck was that?" And there was just a lot of that shit. And I gotta say it again and again and again and again. What the fuck are you doing with Azrael and Bandido as a champions? Not that they're not fucking talented, but there's no push, there's no fucking gimmick, there's no fucking, there's no build, there's no nothing. There's no kind of spark or anything behind them being champions other than going, "Yep, we'll fight anybody. All right, then. We'll bring it on, then." And they fight the Blackout, and then the Runaways come running, and they're like, "All right, we'll fight you guys, then. Fuck it." And then they fight them. What the fuck is, what is any of this? How is this supposed to be taken serious by anybody who's a fan of the company? Like, for real. I don't know. I have no fucking idea now. Okay. Next match. And I'm sorry if I hurt anybody's feelings for this, because, Drake's a good friend of mine. And, I highly, highly respect Drake. But, okay. And they listen on the fucking website is, a lot of people are calling a match of the night. Let me be 100% honest, like, Drake is far overweight right now. Dude, you couldn't notice it in Cage of Death when he crushed Rory, and this will tie into what I have to say afterwards as far as what they should be doing with Drake. But seeing Drake now, because, I mean, I believe Drake had a shirt on in Cage of Death, too.
Yep.
So, you know, if he was, you know, gaining a little bit or anything like that, it didn't show, and he played Crusher, and he went in there, and he fucking played, you know, the elder statesman, the dude who had to lay down the fucking law and all that, and it worked completely fucking perfect. You couldn't see a fucking a kink in that guy's armor because of the way that they worked that shit at Cage of Death. So, again, it's not just complete knock on, oh, wow, dude, you're way out of shape. But, listen, I haven't seen Drake with this much weight on him in a long fucking time. Now, what fucking makes DJ or whoever the fuck booked this shit, whoever the fuck made this shit happen, that fucking, what made you think that you could put this guy in there, the longest reigning CZW champion, a guy who is clearly not in the shape that, you know, he should be, especially in this type of match, no build whatsoever in a first-time match against one of the quickest fucking guys in the company in Adam Cole. And your only fucking build is first time ever, longest reigning CZW junior heavyweight champion, longest reigning fucking heavyweight champion. Have at it, guys. It was slow. It was awkward. It wasn't fucking now. Not saying that everything that Adam Cole does needs to be fast moving, but he couldn't. Drake couldn't keep up. He couldn't. Now, Drake in the past, Drake could keep up with anybody. Drake could fucking technical. Drake could fucking, he could do the quick moving fucking, you know, best of the best style. He could do fucking hard hitting, fucking strong style. He could do deathmatch. He could do fucking anything. Drake is a fucking chameleon in the ring. But the one fucking thing that you don't want to put him in, if he's a little on the heavy side, is a fucking light heavyweight match against fucking a cruiserweight. Against somebody who's one of the quickest guys in the fucking business. He's running around working fucking Davey Richards. He's working around fucking, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, fucking all these other quick-ass guys over in Ring of Honor, and going all this crazy, you know, fast sprinting matches and all that shit, and then they put him up against that. And it comes to the point, too, where Drake's doing shit like fucking, I'm going to do the 10 punches in the corner. Now I want all you guys to fucking cheer for me because, come on, I'm about to punch him in the corner. That's not CZW. CZW is not fucking WWE wrestling where we're all just supposed to go, yeah, our hero is going to punch him in the corner. Yeah. No, you're not. No, you stop it. Fucking cut it out. That's a stall move at fucking best. And honestly, that's not even a fucking CZW style thing. Half the time, that fucking punch in the corner shit would in CZW would lead to some kind of fucking running powerbomb into some dangerous shit. Or getting dumped over the top rope for trying that shit. Or some shit like that. But it got down to that kayfabe type wrestling where it's like, yeah, I'm Drake Younger. My fucking reputation fucking far precedes me. I'm the fucking man. Now cheer for me doing nothing. And I'm not down with it, dude. I don't give a fuck how much I like this guy, how much I respect this guy. I'm not just going to give fucking somebody like, yeah, you're standing in front of me. Yeah, I'm just going to clap my fucking ass off like a trained seal. That's not the way it works with me. I respect you because you busted your fucking ass through all this time. And as long as this continues, then yeah, I'm your fucking biggest supporter. But if you decide that you're going to hit that fucking cruise control button, and then you're just going to go, well, cheer for me doing pretty much nothing while, you know, one of the fastest guys in the fucking company, if not the business at this point, is fucking running circles around the ring. No, man. This match shouldn't have been booked. And I can't just blame Drake for the match being booked, but I can blame the fucking management for thinking this is a good idea and then thinking that, you know, let's just hype this. Like, this was the best fucking thing of the night. This was the best this and this is. I mean, it wasn't. It was a bad fucking idea from fucking get-go to book that fucking match. And I can't help but, because I don't want to lose any fucking momentum off of what I just said to fucking say the next thing that I said that I seen the very next day when I got fucking home. A promo. Oh, a promo for March. Drake is in the locker room in front of Sami Callihan. After everything I just said, what do you think's happening in March? Drake Younger for the light or the junior heavyweight title against Sami Callihan. And Drake's in the locker room, and I should have pulled the clip, but I didn't. Drake's in the locker room, and he's telling him, I respect you, I'm the longest running this, I'm the longest running this, I got the fire in my heart, I might not be, and he said, I might be a little out of that weight class, but I'm going to cut weight before next month. This ain't like a cut weight before next month type business right now. I'm not saying this is, oh, dude, he's done, he's so fat. I'm not saying anything even remotely close to that. But I'm saying, like, you're not going to just fucking take this crazy light heavyweight title run right now. You're not going to work all the fastest guys in the fucking company right now and have it come off good. I'm also not saying that the match with Sami can't be good. But this has got to be the worst time in Drake Younger's career that we can make a light junior heavyweight title run. Or, you know, wrestle everybody light and quick in the company. This has got to be the worst time for this. And again, after I'm done with this card, I'm gonna run through what I really feel is the best thing to do with Drake right now as the fucking flagship guy for years in this company. As a guy who is fucking proven more than most people in the CZW history. What you can do, and yeah, if you want to do all of these other things and then build him up to be the fucking light, quick-moving Drake Younger that he was before, and he was never fucking, you know, built like AR Fox or any shit like that, but he was definitely willing to go and able to go with any one of those guys at any given day. Now, to me, is not the time. But, fine. I don't give a fuck. I mean, just do it. Fucking do it. Prove me wrong, because I know you can. If anybody can, you're the dude, man. Definitely. So, I didn't like the way that shit came off at all. And just, it upset me because, you know, how much I respect that guy. And how much I respect, you know, everybody involved. And I just thought it was a horrible booking. It didn't make any goddamn sense. Sami defeated DJ Hyde in a quote-unquote ultra-violent rules match. Match was hard-hitting, as these guys always are against each other. They did a lot of this bullshit, throwing each other against the hockey boards and slapping that shit with their hand and, like, making, like, the I just got checked into the board sound. Like, I really didn't care about that. That's retarded. Like, I wasn't down with it. It's just, like, you don't have to do much to those boards for them to make, like, a noise. Like, you just died. And there was a lot of that shit, like, surrounding the fucking ice rink or roller rink or whatever. So I was just like, all right, you know, get this over with, get the fuck back in there. And DJ did a lot of, like, shit that didn't look good. Just didn't look good. Like, coming off the ropes to do a guy a splash on him, and then do, like, that shuffle step shit that looks like you don't know how to run the ropes. And, again, I will go over a bunch of shit with a bunch of different things with these people. I mean, it's pretty much cut clear with DJ. I think he needs to stop fucking wrestling in CZW, period. But get into that after this. So the match that they did in Deja Vu was a million times better than this. It wasn't the worst match in the world. I honestly think the finish came off really well. They had Adam Cole come in, hold Sami back. Adam Cole came in, DJ held Sami back for Adam Cole to super kick him. Sami moves, Adam Cole super kicks DJ, DJ falls into the corner, Sami does the fucking gauge kicks in the corner, and then goes for the stretch muffler. The only part of this finisher that completely fell apart is, it's quite a feat of strength to put DJ in the stretch muffler, because he's fucking enormous. Sammy's done it before, but it's not exactly, you know, a walk in the park. And, you know, it's easy to, you know, for a guy like that to slip out of it, and you got to improvise. So Sami ended up finishing him with the single leg crab, which to me came off like shit. And honestly, like, you don't have to finish every guy with the stretch muffler. If a guy's fucking 300 pounds or, you know, 300 plus pounds, fucking finish him with that devastating fucking forearm while the guy's on his knees, you know, the killer forearm to the fucking head, or finish him with his own fucking lariat, or, you know, that, like, there's a lot of different things that could have been done
rather than that. So, I mean, it was the only thing that made the finisher look wrong. And it's not blaming someone specifically. Again, it's a match that I didn't think needed to happen. They already done it. They already did it really, really well in that Deja Vu match. And I didn't see any reason for it. So that's my point more than anything else is, you know, I could nitpick on the match. I could say this and that. But, like, when the match didn't come off that well and I didn't think it needed to happen beforehand, well, then you kind of proved my point. Like, you went out of your fucking way to prove my point by having it in another match. So, that's that. Then Matt Tremont came out, more or less saying he's going to win Tournament of Death. He's got, like, a, you know, one of them joints you turn over chicken and shit on the grill with the skewer. Nah, is it a skewer? I don't know. The fork. The big-ass fucking grill fork. He's got one of them joints in his mouth. And he's like, yeah, fuck Stabby DJ, stay away from me. So, they're kind of, like, building them fighting. And definitely building that Tremont's hyped up for Tournament of Death. That's okay. So Tremont's not booked on a show, but he's hyped up. And he cut a good promo, for sure. So, but there's nothing to look forward about a DJ Hyde versus Matt Tremont match. Let me just put that out there right now. Like, nobody fucking needs to see that. Nobody. Matt Tremont is the future in fucking deathmatch wrestling within CCW and a lot of the industry too. You know, he's going to wrestle the Carnage Cup. He's debuting for IWA East Coast against Too Tough Tony coming up, and he's doing a lot of things. And he's starting to be noticed a lot of places, and rightfully so. But again, DJ, you don't need to fucking put yourself in that position. You don't need to be the fucking guy that fights the guy who's coming up, the fucking next guy, the fucking guy that people are paying attention to. Nobody wants to see fucking Matt Tremont versus DJ Hyde, other than fucking probably DJ Hyde. So, don't. Just cut it out. Alright, next up, you got Danny Havoc versus Rory Mondo in a deathmatch trial. And I was very skeptical on how they're going to pull off a deathmatch. And how that's going to happen, and what are they going to do, because, you know, well, fucking it's Jersey, and you're really not allowed to do a lot of shit in Jersey. So, they had a bundle of the tack strips, and okay. Then I think a bunch of loose tack strips, and then, another maybe, like, five tack strips on a chair that Havoc came out with. And then later in the match, thumbtacks came out, like a bucket of thumbtacks came out. So not that bad, considering it's Jersey and stuff like that. There was probably a total, I'd say, 20 tack strips. And, you know, a decent couple thousand thumbtacks, you know, within a bucket and stuff like that. So they did that. Really didn't do that bad for what it was. Honestly, you know, did pretty good fucking job for it being New Jersey. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of blood. They couldn't do a lot of fucking, you know, self-assisted bleeding. So, you know, there weren't exactly pouring blood and shit in the match. And I don't need that necessarily. So it's not something that, like, I consider a problem. But it's obviously, you know, when the fans are saying, we want blood and all that dumb shit. Then, you know, it's going to stand out and stuff like that. And it surely won't go down as one of the best death matches or anything like that. It comes off as a phoned-in death match, even though these guys were taking some good bumps and doing some good stuff in the ring. I had no problem with the match. Of course, it was just weird, you know, seeing kind of a lower stipulation type death match. Danny went over. They went to intermission. Here, now, let me walk you through this part of my night, because this was one of the weirdest fucking things I've ever experienced in my life. This was like a crazy fucking dream. I guess nightmare. Now, you go from, like, the deathmatch-ish crowd, right? They're doing Danny Havoc versus Rory Mondo. Remember, I came into the joint. They were playing hockey out there and all that stuff.
And actually, when we came into the building, there was, it was dark out, so I can't say clear skies, but there was nothing going on. It was, a little cold and that type of thing. But that was it. So, now, Larry says something about, we're going to go to intermission, da-da-da-da-da. So these guys are peeling themselves off the thumbtacks, off of that type of thing. We walk out of that room where the wrestling is being, that rink, the roller rink to go out to the car, put my camera in the car, whatever else. And then as we walk out and you see the other rink, and this is the first thing I hear. As this stuff hits my ears, I then also see, fucking 100, 200 fucking middle school kids skating around, holding hands, fucking Britney Spears blaring through the speakers, and I'm just like, holy shit, this is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. They're still sweeping thumbtacks out of the ring. I walk 20 feet, and there's fucking middle school kids skating around to Britney Spears holding fucking hands. Holy shit. That was fucking an unbelievable fucking culture shock to me. I didn't know what the fuck to feel about that. I still don't. So then, we walk outside, and as soon as we hit the outside, it's like a fucking snow ice storm. The fucking cars are all covered in snow, and we're getting blasted in the fucking face and chest with fucking ice snow. I have all these little fucking ice crystals on my chest, fucking 2 seconds into walking outside. I'm like, holy shit, this is the weirdest fucking thing ever. So I go put my fucking camera in the car, chill out for a minute, try to, calm down, get myself over the fucking just annoyance that I've built up from the first half of this show. What the fuck? This is fucking crazy. I don't know what the fuck, man. And just So, and we come back in, and second half starts off with a good match. Dave Crist, Mr. Tofiga, they come out. Jake Crist, AR Fox, and Lucky come out. And, Jake, or AR Fox grabs the mic and starts saying some shit about, you don't need to worry about why, Uha Nation, or he's like, oh, Uha in here, Uha in here, fucking, I think Dave Crist grabs the mic and says something about, you don't need to worry about him, you don't need to worry about this, you need to be worried about our partner, and Chuck Taylor's music hits, and Chuck Taylor comes out. So, Chuck Taylor is the third member of that team. Let me just say on a side note, Mr. Tofiga's feet look like a busted-ass pair of gray boots. I just look at this motherfucker and it'd be like, yo, there's some busted-ass gray boots he's got on. And then you're like, oh, shit, those are his feet. And that's, every single time I see him. I don't even know how you live like that. That shit is crusty as shit, man. I don't even... Man. So, anyway, they get into this match. And if you didn't notice, for the first show that he has been since... before he went Cult Fiction, 13 is now going by Lucky again. Back with his green tights as back when he was Lucky. And this is the 13th anniversary show, and it's going from 13 to Lucky, and then, unlucky enough for him, he injured himself. I don't know the extent of the injury, but he took some kind of spot, and he was limping around for the rest of the show, including, the main event when he came out with Scotty. So, lucky enough for him, that's the way that went. The match was good. They had a lot of back-and-forth moves and stuff like that. AR Fox doing his thing, Jake Crist doing his thing. They called the Crist boys to showing their shit.
fucking tremendously talented. They had a few, you know, trademark Chuck Taylor spots where he did the grenade thing, and they tossed a grenade all over the ring, and then, you know, he ended up fucking hitting Chuck Taylor with the grenade, and then everybody took the fucking bump in the middle of the ring. You know, the whole thing, goofy Chuck Taylor spots. And they did a couple of those, and, you know, it was pretty good. I mean, it went back and forth, and, you know, Dave ended up stealing the fucking victory, you know, pushed Topigo off and got the pin on Chris, and that type of thing. So, not bad. Next up was Black G's versus Homicide, and Voorhees street fight, as if there was ever a fucking fight in Voorhees before, other than, like, fucking buddy, I don't like your fucking attitude. Oh, yeah, well, I'll see you in court. That's like a... I would imagine a lot of fucking fights in Voorhees go down like, well, I'll have my lawyer call your lawyer, and we'll work this out. Well, I swear to God, don't you get me in court. I'll be ruthless. Street fight in Voorhees. Are you kidding me? So anyway, something... Now, this match was good. I might even go as far as to call this the best match of the show. Match of the night, as you would call it. But for a first-time ever match, for a feud that was built up from well before Cage of Death, and, you know, two guys as talented as this, I don't think it was as rough, as brutal as it should have been. I really don't. I didn't see the intensity that I wanted to see out of this match. They didn't do a whole shitload wrong, but there was a lot of points where the energy kind of fell out of the match. And, I mean, it could have been the atmosphere, it could have been the building, could have been the fans, could have been any of that shit, but something about it, like, just lost momentum, and it just kind of, like, had like, kind of dead air moments in the match, where it just kind of fell flat a little bit. And then they did the finish where Joker came out, kind of taunted Homicide, and Homicide got sidetracked, and G's hit him with a finisher of some sort. Like, I don't remember G's using that finisher too many times. I'm not really sure what that was, but he did some kind of shit. And that was what it was. And, you know, G's got the win, but... I'd like to see that match happen again, you know, with some more intensity, a lot more behind it, a lot more offense by both guys, fucking just all fucking out, because I know those two guys could put on a better match. And, you know, honestly, the way the whole show went, I don't know if I was a performer, if I would have looked around and said, hey, you know, this ain't the place. We need to put on our blockbuster somewhere else. Let's do what we can in this match, but let's save something for the fucking, the big dance. And I wouldn't blame either guy for that, if that was the case. I don't know, I ain't a fucking wrestler, I ain't neither of these guys. They bust their ass out there, but I know these guys got more for a fucking future performance. I know they do, so. In a three-way dance to name the number one contender, ended in a no contest. Now, for those who didn't know, this was Masada versus Ego versus Devin Moore. Now, this match, for the most part, was nothing special. They really didn't do a whole lot of anything that made any type of fucking impact. Not a whole lot of fucking, you know, fans getting into this shit, because it was just all over the place, and just there was like no direction. And I have a hard time believing that anybody in that fucking booking department, whoever the fuck they are, put a lot of effort into the show as a whole. And this match was the fucking definition of the fact that they just don't give a fuck. They clearly don't give a fuck. This match, okay, again, I really can't point out anything that really meant shit from start to finish in this match, but the one thing that stood out to fucking everybody, and this was the finish. Posada gets thrown to the outside somehow. Ego hits a backdrop, like a holding, pinning backdrop. You know, like a pinning backdrop, where, like, he doesn't just backdrop him and, you know, roll off. Like, he backdrops him and holds him. One, two, three. And the first thing I'm going is a fucking backdrop? He just won with a fucking backdrop? The fuck is that? Not a backdrop driver, not some shit where he dumped him, nothing like... Just a fucking, a straight backdrop? Oh, well, that wasn't bad enough. Then, you see the fucking Brett running around looking retarded, which is nothing different than the normal, but Brett's looking retarded, and all of a sudden, Larry announces, ladies and gentlemen, due to both men's shoulders being down on the canvas, both men have won the contest. Straight up, like, they announced that both motherfuckers won. And you had enough motherfuckers in the crowd, and I honestly don't think that this is fully fucking Larry's fuck-up. I really don't. And I'll tell you why in a minute, but they do that shit, and I'm like, they both got fucking pinned. How the fuck do both people win when they both got fucking pinned? Both of their fucking shoulders down, they both took a fucking three count, now they both win? How about the one fucking guy that didn't get pinned in the match that's on the outside? Yeah, he didn't get a pin either, but he also didn't get fucking pinned, so... He's the one neutral guy that didn't take none of that shit. He don't count for shit, right? Oh, okay, that sounds fucking awesome. So, I'm just like, this is a bunch of shit. So then there's, like, a couple beats of, like, them all fucking looking at each other like, oh, what should we do? What should we do? Like, they've never done this shit before. And then Larry goes, correction, this match has been ruled a no contest. And we're all just like, what the fuck? And then Devin gets on the mic, dude, we ain't having that cause. We ain't fucking having that, cuz. Fucking come back out here. Let's fucking do another one. I don't give a fuck. We're not fucking leaving it like this. It's a fucking dub, cuz. And then, you know, the ego comes out, and I have no impression for him. And, you know, says something about, you want 5 more minutes? You want this? You want it with light tubes? You want it with glass? You want it with this? Yeah, you're not getting it. And, you know, as soon as he came back out, I'm like, we ain't getting this shit. What, are you kidding me? So he leaves. So that's that. Match over, everything over, nothing there, okay? Main event, I've said it before, and I'm gonna say it again and again and again tonight. This should never be a main event. This is a horrible decision. Why the fuck would you put Drew Gulak in the main event? Not in CZW. Sorry, not in CZW. There is a place and a role for him. Again, fantastic show. Main event, Drew Gulak versus new champion, Scotty Vortex. Drew comes out with Mr. Topeka, a walking Chris Hero action figure, and Dewey. Or Dewith, or whatever the fuck they're calling him. So he walks out with all of that. He's got three fucking people with him. Now, Scotty is part of the Nation of Intoxication. He comes out with one limping fucking Lucky. That's it. Just one limping fucking Lucky. That's it. Up against the heel team with three motherfuckers. Okay? So, why? So then they're playing the heel tactics, the whole shit. We go through the whole match. Throughout this match, the crowd chanted Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown, what the fuck else were they chanting? I think they were chanting like PN News, or they were chanting Coco Beware, CM Punk, the fans kept chanting turtleneck, and I believe the reason they were chanting turtleneck is there was one idiot fan wearing a turtleneck on the right side, like far to the right side of me, and that was more important than any fucking thing they seen in the ring for the majority of the night, that they broke into chants of turtleneck for the one fucking fan that was wearing a turtleneck in the crowd. So that shows you how fucking over the guys were in the ring all goddamn night. So whether the fans were just being douchebags, and believe me, like all these chants that were happening, this is stuff that I'm noticing. This isn't something that I participate in, because these are douchebag fans that do this type of thing. I don't agree with that, but in the same token, that's the majority of your fucking fans. That's your fucking majority vote right there. That's the people who are supporting, quote-unquote, your company. And they're showing up, and they're not fucking entertained. They're getting themselves over now, just chanting random shit. You hear when I was chanting Bobby Brown fucking 20 minutes after I learned fucking Whitney Houston died? Oh, that was me. Like, that's the motherfucking shit that you're getting. And there's nothing going on. There's fucking, you know, huge attempts at fucking technical wrestling and fucking all sorts of fucking chain wrestling and roll-ups and heel tactics and Tofiga trying to chime in and Dewey trying to get involved. And nobody gives a fuck. Not a single fuck. Nobody cares. Nobody fucking cares. That does not belong in the fucking main event. Not even close. So, now towards the end of the match, now Devin comes out. Oh, shit, now you're part of the team. That's cool, because, oh, yeah, that's right. You, yeah. Now, then, a little bit more. Now, Danny comes out. Now the score is kind of evened. Only enough for Drew to more or less look at Danny and them, and then Scotty hits the Spanish fly joint off the top rope. And, you know, let me also chime in on this. Like, there's a lot of shit that's happened over the years in the big companies that you've heard stories on shoot interviews of and stuff like that. If one guy uses a star press, another guy can't use the star press. That type of thing. Earlier in the card, A.R. Fox did his finish, or you know, one of his finishes is the, what the fuck's he called that shit? Low main pain. And it's a fucking, like a springboard, you know, jumps up, springs off with his legs, and catches a dude in a fucking Spanish fly. Unbelievable athletic move. So, when, like, let me see. One, two, three matches later, Scotty does a plain-ass Spanish fly off the top rope. Are we supposed to pop for that? You know what I mean? It's one thing if a guy did a regular Spanish fly on the fucking early card, and then your main event guy did a fucking springboard, fucking catch the dude, fucking flipping Spanish fly joint, where people are like, holy shit. There's no way to get your fucking guys over doing this type of shit. There's no way to do that. So, you know, I mean, I've heard a million fucking things where one guy was using a move was too similar to this guy who you're trying to get over on a higher card, and they fucking pulled it. They were like, don't do that move during this match. Don't do that shit. So, that's like... Just common shit that, like, you've seen in wrestling throughout the years, and there were reasons that they did it, and the reasons why it worked for that company, and reasons why it got over, and reasons why it didn't, and all that shit, and there were fights in locker rooms over who used what move and shit like this. Through years of wrestling, now I'm not asking these fucking guys to have personal issues or anything like that by any fucking stretch of the imagination, but what I am asking for is they don't make the fucking main eventer look like shit by putting him up against a guy who is just a strict technical wrestler, put fucking three guys out there because he has a team. Oh, the other guy has a team, but he left them in the locker room for the most part. The one guy he brought out with him is limping because he's hurt. And then the other guys are fine, but they'll be out later. They're kind of, you know, I don't know. They'll be out later. So, and the fans are fucking shitting over the whole match the whole time. And we do nothing to pop the crowd. We do nothing to fucking bring them out of their funk to go, holy shit, this is the main event. Wow, fucking... Nobody's done no shit on the rest of the card. This is clearly the main event. This is why the fuck we showed up to fucking CCW tonight. That's what the main event should be. the main event should show every fucking buddy why they fucking paid to come see this. You might have an earlier match that steals the show, but if you have a main event that has no fucking plans to be anything spectacular, as in this one, and there clearly wasn't, there was nothing in that fucking main event that was ever fucking planned to blow anybody's fucking mind. No fucking chance in hell. Nobody in their right fucking mind could fucking pitch that shit to me and I'll believe them. No way did anybody fucking put that out there with fucking hopes for this to be the best fucking main event or titles fucking defense or any of that bullshit. At best, it was a fucking build show. At best. And I don't think you built much. So, that's that. That's the motherfucking show. There's your fucking show in a nutshell. Go home. Thanks for coming out to fucking Voorhees, New Jersey, hockey fans. Like, that's the fuck I'm talking about. That's why I'm fucking angry. That's why I fucking didn't like that shit. And apparently, guys, people lost.
Yeah,
really sucks.
Yeah, no, yeah, we're still on
shit.
The air.
I know we are. I know, but it just goes in and out, and it's still on. They just need to refresh and all that stuff. But what can you do? And it's always like a big surprise. You'd be like, refresh. You're like, oh, okay, we're good. So anyway, that's what that is. Any thoughts on that before? Because I got to take another break and then. But, you know.
Yeah. There's some other shit going on with CZW.
Well, I'm going to talk about the upcoming shows. I'm going to talk about what I would like to have done with the talent and all that
stuff.
Okay,
you want to do that
after I take another break.
Okay.
But yeah, as far as that show, man, I left there with the thoughts of just like...
I'll slap you in the mouth with my dick.
So, having said that, I'm going to take my second music break, and I'll come back and give you all my thoughts on what I think should, you know, some things that should happen and some things that they got upcoming and all that stuff. So, check it out.
Come on, man, rap for Christ's sakes. I said, it sound like a robot going through puberty. I'm in love with shoes, Nikes out with Boost. Back in 92, like you had in juice. Y'all are fucking fools, sing like Dr. Seuss. Vocals need a deuce, you should just produce. Rock that auto-tuner, thought you stopping sooner. Yo, you ain't a computer, you ain't from the future, and you ain't got a tumor, so why you do to your voice shit to make it sound stupider? If you walk on the moon, I'm moonwalking Jupiter. Stay true to the game, or people gon' boo at ya. Do what you like, but shut off your mic, or ruin ya. Apathy, a ripper, rapper, and two, then I'm through with ya. A couple motherfuckers wanna hate, cause I'm white, but they never rock a mic single day in their life on the internet. Yeah, and the app ain't rapping. They say they gon' see me, but that'll never happen. Never, ever happen. You could just imagine, sit at your computer while my money stays stacking. So yeah, see, I suck, and yeah, talk shit, but you listen to me, you're on my dick. Yeah! Apathy, Big Mike, white on white crime. The fuck you love, man? Hip hop, rap, gotta lock down. Fly kicks, fly chicks, gotta lock down. Yo, Kanye, sing with that funny ass voice, man.
Don't keep you low.
Person out there to kill this shit like I killed it. Probably not, but just in case, better get your Beretta ready and load it with metal. The minute it can't get on my level, a veteran ready to rhythm of the run of the mill. A little kid on Ritalin whose tongue covered the pill. Stand back for a second, study the rail. Float the sword to the sky and I summon a skill. So hot when I rock, need a summer to chill. All of a sudden the son of Sam's coming to kill. Got a whole lot of motherfuckers on my dick. That spit gossip, ain't that a bitch? Cause if I had a dime for every single time that y'all pop shit, then I'd be rich. Man, I remember the first time I heard that funny ass voice shit. That T-Pain voice that Kanye and Weezy interviews. It was on that song, Way Back by Cher. And then they bend her vocals like that, like this.
Don't keep you low, 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 low,
before I get to the rest of my CZW talk and my all shenanigans of what I feel, because I have no pull or booking or whatever the case is in the company, so I'm just going to speak my shit and all of that afterwards. But I think
but here's
people
the thing.
Are missing.
You do know that, you know, CZW does listen to our show, so, hey.
Yeah, but, you know, I listen to fucking Howard Stern. Doesn't mean a goddamn thing. You know, I listen to all sorts of things. That doesn't mean a goddamn thing. I don't go out and scream Baba Booey in the street, you know? Anyway, but I think what people are missing would be our ever-popular, world-famous segment of Japanese with Eric. I do believe...
That was not hyped. You gotta hype that. You gotta hype it up a little bit more than that. That was kind of lackluster, Jay. Come on, you can do better than that.
Called it world famous. I believe that's
like fucking. This is fucking Japanese. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, you know. Let me find the. Where the fuck did I put that? Been all this time, it's like I gotta search through like a. Oh, it's so ridiculous. Where can I even find this? Japanese. Where the fuck are the Japanese? I could swear I had that shit right up top. I hate Blog Talk, dude. I always wanted to be on a network and then talk shit about the people that I'm on with. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, you fucking piece of shit assholes. Good thing they don't listen to half the shit I say. Or any of it, quite honestly. I'll find it. Oh, we'll just keep bullshitting and making meaningless talk. Blah, 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 blah. I have lots to talk about. Of course I do. Why wouldn't I? Because I do. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus!
Yeah. Where the fuck? This is far too long of a fucking switchboard for a human being to look through for a goddamn... really? Let me try again, off the top. Well, this is just bullshit. I have lost my Japanese with Eric, but... There it is! Oh,
yeah!
Yay! Hold on. Just to celebrate, I like to play this.
Booker, I want to have sex with your wife. And I'm not just talking any kind of sex with your wife. No. I'm talking, you know, that kind of bestiality sex with your wife. You know, what I want with your wife, Charmel, I want to have that kind of... That kind of perverted sex.
That's right. That's in honor of me finding the clip in Valentine's Day and everything else. So, yeah, some of that bestiality sex, maybe. you got the card?
I got the results, and I got a card. I only have
Fantastic.
One set of results.
Fantastic. So, this is Japanese with Eric.
All righty, and we have... Pro Wrestling Noah show to go over. That was from the 14th. So only on Tuesday.
Yeah,
on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Corrigan Hall, 1,600 fans were here. In the very first match of the night, Ricky Marvin defeated Harlem Bravado at 4 minutes and 19 seconds with a Hollywood Star Press triangle jump. In the second match, Muhammad Yone defeated Lance Bravado at 428 with a muscle buster. Here we go. The third match, Goshi Zaki and Shuhei Taniguchi went to disqualification because Taniguchi, Shozaki attacked him with a chair. And Taniguchi somehow joined No Mercy. In the fourth match, Wanakima and Kito Koshi, Saito and Masaho Inoue defeated Kenny Kobashi at 1643 for the sickle of death of Saito on Inoue. Just reading the results, I'm not putting my own thing in there. Takashi Morishima defeated Takuma Sano at 633 with a backdrop. In the sixth match, Takashi Sugiri, Naimuchi Marufuji and Taji Ishimori and Muhammad Ayone defeated Yoshihiro Takayama, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Gangba Harangi. That's 1233 after a roundhouse kick from Yone to Taniguchi. In the seventh match, the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles were on the line as Kotaro Suzuki and Tushi Aoki defeated Shuji Kondo and Hiroshi Yamato at 22:43 with a wrist clutch assault point Aoki against Yamato.
That's airline.
That was the results for that. And then we'll have a card for the New Japan 40th Anniversary Show on March 4th. They have seven matches announced. And they are the following. Prince Devitt and Raisuke Taguchi and Kushida take on Tama Tonga, Taki Watanabe, and Hiromu Takahashi. In the second match, Tomo Aki Homo. Honma and New Japan versus Captain Yoshihashi and Tomohiro Ishii. In the third match, Jushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask versus Jado and Gato. Fourth match, Yuji Nagata and Wataru Inoue take on Togi Makabe, Minoru Suzuki, Takamichi Noku, and Taichi. Hiroshi Tenzin, Satoshi Kojima versus Toru Yano and Taki Ishii Iizuka. A special six-man tag match, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Carl Anderson, and what the fuck is that possible? It says, six-man tag match. Don't understand why the fuck it says. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Carl Anderson, Goto Hiroki, Shinsuke Nakamura, Masato Tanaka, and Yujiro Takahashi. So I don't know where the hell, what the hell's going on with that match, because I don't know if it's a six-man tag or what. Who's teaming with who. Seventh match, IWGP Heavyweight Championship, Kazuchika Okada versus Tetsuya Naito. And that's Japanese with Eric.
Yes, that is Japanese with Eric.
I want you to know who you're talking to, too.
Yeah.
Top flight motherfucker security.
That's right. man. A bunch of other things to talk about. Obviously, I got to talk about my other part of CZW, how I have a huge problem with the different things of booking. And, you know, well, you know, obviously other people are saying, you know, they will easily say, well, what the fuck would you do, motherfucker? And, you know, this old dumb shit. You know what I mean? I don't know if they would say in that voice. I mean, I'm personally somebody, I don't even know who's talking to me at this point. So, but anyway, before I say that, let me tell you, fucking C4 Extreme is fucking bananas.
All right, real quick. Sorry, real quick.
Breaking
I just
news.
Got a legit, this is ridiculous. DJ Hyde just messaged me on Facebook. You need to learn how to say Japan guys' names.
Is that right?
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here, really?
Dead ass.
The segment wouldn't be good if he did. Let's settle down. DJ, let it be good. Let it be good.
So anyway, C4 Extreme is fucking crazy shit, dude. You want to fucking work out and you want to use some shit that's going to fucking... I took that shit the other day. I got home from work. It was Valentine's Day. Got home from work. I took that shit. I was planning on working out. And then I never took it before. I just got it. I was taking Super Pump before. And I took that shit. And I'm like, yo, within like minutes, it's supposed to take like 20 minutes, a half hour. And he's like, hey, you know, we got to open the girls' presents. So the girls want to open the presents. And I'm like, what is it, Christmas? You know, they're opening presents. It's fucking Valentine's Day. They got presents. So I'm like, all right, cool, cool. They're waiting for you. So I'm like, all right. So I'm waiting there. I'm waiting for them to finish eating. All of a sudden, I feel this, like, tweet. I feel like I'm on, I don't know, dude. This must be what cocaine addicts feel like. All of a sudden, I felt like my eyeballs were enormous, and I was just like, I can't contain myself. I've never been one of those, like, you know, heavy drug dudes, and I'm just like, whoa, this shit is crazy. It just had me tweaked. So I was just like, yo, but once you start working out with it, like, you can definitely go. You could definitely go with that shit, and I highly, highly recommend it. C4 Extreme by Cellucor. Fucking awesome shit. I use that shit again tomorrow for sure. So what I was saying about, you know, CZW stuff, that different things that I would do with different people. Well, let's start with Greg Excellent. I think putting him over Drake Younger, longest running CZW champion, bad idea. I honestly don't think that there's a lot that you can make out of that. I know Drake isn't a guy who has a problem with giving a guy a rub and, you know, helping a guy out to get somewhat of a push. But, I mean, coming off of beating the longest-running CZW champion ever, well, I mean, fighting Niles Young in the fucking first match of the night is not exactly a rub. So it's not really, you know. I also think Greg Excellent's run with the best of the best junior heavyweight title push, terrible idea. Terrible. Okay. Things I liked that they did with Greg Excellent. The underdog matches versus Brody Lee. When they built up to that, and no disrespect to G's or anything like that, but the best of the best that G's won, I don't remember the number, the best match of the night was fucking Brody Lee versus Greg Excellent. Over the whole tournament, over anything that happened that day, was fucking Greg Excellent and Brody Lee. Greg busted his fucking ass. Greg went the whole fucking thing, you know, getting into tournament of death. He busted his ass to prove his shit there. That shit was cool. And I'll come full circle, too. It's not just Greg killing himself. That's not the only way that I'm saying Greg could get over. Him being a prop against brain damage, too, when they had the Danny Havoc thing, and he came out, and then, you know, damage punched him, or headbutted him, whatever. He headbutted him. And then he rolled down, whatever. That was another huge, huge point where I think Greg just was perfect comedic gold, and just played his role to perfection. When he teamed up with Beef, awesome. Fucking, I thought that was really great comedic stuff. Another one, I think the odd pairing, kind of like what they were trying to do with him and DJ, but not DJ. More, it needs to be more aggressive, more sold with the company, more like convincingly aggressive, a la Masada, Nick Gage, fucking Nate Hatred, like one of those guys that everybody, fan-wise, believes that this fucking guy will kill people. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is a scary motherfucker. Like, DJ, I mean, DJ has done what he's done, and that's cool and all that type of shit. But as far as, like, what the fans think is a dangerous fucking man, DJ's not it. No matter how much he wants to be it, it's not. But Greg and a mismatch of, you know, obviously Nick Gage isn't an option. Gage would hate that, but it would be fucking awesome. Teaming him up with a Masada or a fucking Gage, or that type of shit, where he's being comedic, and he's being this, and the other guy is no-selling his comedy. And DJ was doing that too, but like I said, because of DJ's role, and DJ, half of what DJ doesn't work as is because he's a double role. You can't get rid of the one role because you do own the company. That is, you can't shake that one role. The only way to fucking make that shit right is to shake the other fucking role. And I guess I'll just segue into that because that's what I think about Greg, like what you could do with there. DJ, he needs to not be fucking wrestling in the company. He does. I know that fucking hurts DJ to hear it. If he does hear it, whatever, that's great. But listen, in order to be a legitimate owner, you want to come out there and you want to say, we're bringing in fucking Jun Kasai, and the crowd goes, yeah, and then you're like, but I fucking hate you guys, and I'm going to screw your best friend on the main event. No one, it's not sellable. It's not fucking sellable. Lay in the fucking backstage. Don't be part of the card. Fucking sell the company. Sell the fucking company. And this is what I say, a minimal of 2 years of removing yourself from the roster, from the wrestling roster. Be Vince McMahon. Be fucking Vince McMahon, where you put out the fucking product. But not only Vince McMahon, be fucking John Zandig. Yeah, and not on the side of death matches, but on the side of making that fucking crowd love you. Fucking unconditionally love you. Put on a fucking focus every bit of your energy on putting on a great fucking product. Not this bullshit fucking anniversary show, because that ain't an anniversary to shit. That showed fucking lack of effort on the fucking booking standpoint. Now, you go out there fucking month in and month out, and you make that fucking crowd happy, and they go home and they're like, I fucking love CZW. You know, from fucking top to bottom, the guys are working hard, that fucking company is booked right. Man, I fucking love CZW. And this is the reason I'm fucking here for 11 years, is because I do. But when you see times like this and you see these different things like this and DJs continue to try to get himself over, like, it's not necessary. It's not working. A true fan like me sees these matches. I see every one of these matches that you're put in there against the top talent, and it doesn't fucking work. It doesn't. It really fucking doesn't. So leave it alone, dude. Give us 2 years where you just book the balls off of this fucking company and you put that shit out there as the best fucking independent company on the East fucking coast, if not the fucking United States. You're all over the globe right now. You're doing things that has to make people respect you as the guy who's making things happen for CZW. You're in Japan, which is something that Zandig, you know, had burned bridges to, and that gets huge amounts of respect. However, dude, you're putting yourself in the ring for what? For what? Like, who actually, let's be real, man, who really, really fucking cares? Nobody, man. And if you fucking got the crowd behind you for 2 years, you don't even need to be a face. I mean, well, you need to... Oh, I was at the fucking 13th anniversary. That's why I'm talking shit about Larry. I was there. God damn it. So, Jesus. Oh, Larry's saying he missed us. I was fucking there. That's how dead the crowd was. I was there and you didn't know. So, anyway. But you give fucking 2 years of busting your fucking ass for that company, not putting yourself over in the fucking ring, not putting yourself out there as a fucking name, and they're just going to give whoever is in charge of that company, whoever is back in that company, whoever is in the role of pushing that company, all of the fucking credit in the world for making it what it was. And then you fucking spark up a feud with somebody, whether it be top heel, top face, whatever the case is. And then you make that Vince McMahon move, the big cage of death fucking showdown with DJ versus fucking such and such. Now you're over. Now everyone gives a fuck about the match. That's what needs to happen. And you cannot pay attention to me. You can wrestle from here to fucking 2014. I don't give a fuck, man. That's on you. But I'm not going to care. And the majority of the crowd doesn't either. I hear the fucking we don't care chants behind me. I hear the fucking bullshit, fucking boring, fucking all that shit chants behind me. And the fact that you're in there with one of the top talents in the company is the only reason why sometimes those chants subside. So, let's be real. That's it. I mean, that's it with that. Okay. Let's talk about the tag titles. Let's make something out of this fucking tag team division. What do we got right now? The Runaways, the Blackout, Vandito and Azrael. No. I mean, yeah, they're a tag team, but they're not even pushing them as tag team right now. Now they're kind of split off as like either a tag team feud or. See, that's the problem. You know, Larry's saying too the best chant of the night was Whitney Houston during the main event. So, let's be real. The main event was over. Do you think that makes the main event over? Following the Whitney Houston chant was fucking Bobby Brown, CM Punk, motherfucking Coco Beware. There was like another five people that didn't have shit to do with the motherfucking main event. So, it wasn't Whitney Houston out of respect. Because Bobby Brown was the next fucking name that they chanted. It was them just fucking overriding the main event because it didn't mean shit. And that's where I'm getting. So anyway, those are the guys you got, more or less. The Runaways, Blackout, Bandito, and Azrael. Maybe you bring back the set, da-da-da. That's your shit. Let me fucking tell you something about the tag team division in... Yeah, Undertaker was another one. Yeah, great. CZW used to have main events of the tag team division. The Backseat Boys versus the Hate Club for the tag team titles. The Briscoes versus the Hate Club. The Backseat Boys versus the Briscoes. The Hate Club versus the Tough Crazy Bastards. At least two times a year. And this is what I think. At least two times a year, the fucking tag team straps should be a main event, and not for no reason. Not where you go, what the fuck are they main event for? Because it should mean that much. It should be an epic fucking showdown on the main event of the fucking evening. And that's why you should have, you know, before you turn them against each other, you didn't even have them tag up in a fucking match. Other than, well, once in Indiana or some shit, just to build a feud. Why wasn't there Philly's Most Wanted versus Irish Airborne? Or why wasn't there Briscoes versus Irish Airborne? Why didn't you bring in half the fucking guys that are top fucking tag teams? You couldn't bring Kyle O'Reilly in for one fucking month to tag him up with Adam Cole and have him against Philly's Most Wanted. You couldn't pull any of this shit to make your tag team division look strong. You got no push, no build, no nothing on fucking Bandito and Azrael. As talented as those guys are, they're in a meaningless fucking tag team title run. And you got fucking Blackout and the Runaways feuding. And the fucking tag team titles are just sitting there like, oh, you guys can fight us if you want. And then they get a title shot and this and that, and then they fight each other again. And then the tag team title guys are just sitting there like, yep, all right then. And then, you know, Eddie Kingston and fucking Homicide are fighting fucking Philly's Most Wanted. Every other tag team title match, including the feud between the Runaways and the Blackout, mean more than the fucking tag team titles right now. What kind of shit is that? What kind of shit is that? I want the fucking every title in that fucking company to mean something. And fucking when you got the fucking tag team titles mean the least of any tag team in that fucking company. Other guys got feuds, they got big shit, they got first match ever, they got this, that, they got that, and then you're like, well, here's your tag team title, guys. Something. Well, they still got them titles, so all right then. That's bullshit. Do something with these motherfucking titles, because like I said, back in the day, back CZW fucking prime time, they had fucking, now you can't bring back the Hate Club, you clearly can't bring back the Backseat Boys, stuff like that, but I mean, we had the Briscoes in our lap, you know, Tough Crazy Bastards, I mean, we've had these fucking guys, these guys are still bookable, like, and it doesn't necessarily mean those guys either, but it's that caliber of fucking, that caliber of tag team and that caliber of a push and a draw towards a tag team. A la the Briscoes. A la Philly's Most Wanted. I mean, when they did their fucking, like, barbed wire tables match, that shit was crazy shit. That was fucking match of the show when they did that this past year. That's the type of shit that I'm talking about. That could easily be your fucking tag team title main event of the evening. And then maybe you run your little fucking Drew Gulak and fucking whatever fucking world title, because that shit don't make sense. But if you can overshadow that with a fucking tag team title match on the main event that's blowing the fucking roof off of there, then do it. That your fucking, your main event should blow the roof off of there. And it shouldn't be restricted to your world title is killing shit or your tag titles are killing shit. The main fucking focus is that main event better be the focus of your show. That main event better kill this shit. Make everybody want to buy that fucking DVD. Everybody want to show up for that next show. Did this fucking show do that? No. The fact that I'm a loyal fucking idiot of a fan is the fact that I'm going to be there on fucking March 10th. But if I was a fucking new fan, and this was one of my first shows, and I'm like, 13th anniversary, damn, they've been around a long time, let me see what they're up to. And I went to that show, I wouldn't fucking come back. Be fucking real. I give TCW a lot more fucking leeway than I give a lot of bullshit fucking companies. Jersey Offer, I'll show up to every fucking 3 years, and I'll be like, well, same old bullshit. And I fucking count up and down the fucking card, but they don't fucking show up. And okay, see you in a while. You know, and that's what it is. That's just what it is. And it's not hate. It's not me fucking wishing bad on the company. Shit, I wouldn't invest fucking 11 years in this company as a fan if I didn't want the fucking best for it. So that's me, okay? Okay. Gulak. Not main event in CZW. He's not. He's too one-dimensional towards technical wrestling. Now, don't get me wrong and say that that's a terrible thing. He should be a top highlight, and I've referred to him as, you know, independent Dean Malenko in the past. And I stick by that comment and say that this dude can help another guy look fucking phenomenal in the ring. But let's not go past the mid-card. Let's make him that top, like that intercontinental champion type guy. That guy that's right around that mid-card that is in the mix all the time. Or you want to give a rub to a younger guy and help him get that bridge into the mid-card. Use Drew Gulak to do that because he's that good of a working tool. He can do so much for the company within the role that you give him, and I think those are the roles that you need to give a guy like that. Honestly, that's just me. In the main event, I mean, he proved that shit just this past Saturday that it just, yeah, that's what he has to offer is not fucking main event in CZW. I believe CZW champion and CZW champion contenders need to be well-versed, need to be able to do every style. And I'm sorry to point it out, but every fucking CZW champion needs to be able to do death matches. Fucking Drake is the longest running CZW champion. Fucking one of the best deathmatch guys out there. Fucking even John Moxley, fucking WWE guy right now. He stepped into CZW title shit, and as soon as he stepped in there, and even before that, he steps into an occasional deathmatch. He could do his shit, he could do whatever kind of gimmick you throw at him, but he also went into that. I mean, just about everybody that went in there dabbled into that, went into that type of thing. You don't see Drew Gulak going into some kind of no rope barbed wire or fucking panes of glass death match for what? Like, it wouldn't even make fucking sense. It's not his gig. I guess he could do it. I don't think it would work. I don't think it would work. It'd be too fucking awkward. Please don't do this shit. Okay, Drake. Like I said, he gained weight. It's not a good look. When he was used as a crusher over young talent like Rory in December, great shit. You couldn't tell the difference. You couldn't tell one kink in this fucking guy's armor. He went out there. He fucking looked like the fucking the higher fucking dude. The guy that was on a pedestal that was fucking crushing. The fucking lower guy that didn't know what the fuck was going to go on. And you couldn't tell whether he was up on weight or not. You couldn't tell none of that shit. You put him in there against Adam Cole. Super fucking fast. One of the fastest guys on the indies. Drake didn't look good. Drake couldn't keep up. Drake's far heavier than I'm fucking used to seeing Drake. And that's fine. Make him more of a power-based wrestler. Make him more of a punisher. Let him go on a tear of young talent to instill respect in the future of CZW. Use him as that. I know he said he's going to cut weight in the promo. Listen, he was probably overweight in December. He wore a shirt. You couldn't tell because he was being a crusher. In January, I don't know what he did. He fucking put over Greg Excellent, so I'm sure he looked super slim in that match. Then fucking next month they put him in one of the quickest guys in the fucking company. And the month after that, he's getting a junior heavyweight title shot against another one of the quickest fucking guys in the company. So, again, it's not shitting on Drake or saying that, you know, oh, he's fat shit or anything like that. But no, he's got some serious extra weight on him. Not like, I'll cut weight by next month. This ain't fucking high school wrestling. And that's a lot more than fucking, I need to cut 8 pounds to make fucking weight limit. That is a good fucking weight you got on you there, bro. And I don't know. I don't like it. I don't think it's good. And I think he should have been used as a crusher, someone to teach the young talent a lesson. And just like running roughshod over guys for a couple months. And if his deal was to get weight, to cut weight, and get lighter, and then go at the fucking light heavyweight, the junior heavyweight thing, then fine, do that. But run roughshod over a lot of these fucking young guys and be the power guy and this and that. Wear a shirt for a couple months and do your cardio and do all that shit. And then come back fucking furious and do the things that I know Drake can do, and then keep up speed with a guy like Adam Cole, with a guy like Sami Callihan. Drake has been so well-versed in his company to be able to keep up with anybody in that fucking ring through the entire course of his career. It's never been a problem. And I seen that fucking inability to do so against Adam Cole. I've seen more weight on him than I'm used to seeing on him, and I've seen the inability to keep up with a guy like Adam Cole. So the next month you're up against Sammy for a junior heavyweight title. I don't like the decision. I could easily see Drake fucking doing every single thing that he can and everything that he has to and making it a great fucking match, because if anybody can, it's definitely Drake. But I just think this is a bad direction to go at this time, at this very moment. That's just a couple of people that I would pick out, and I would say, you know, there's different things that I think should be done with these guys. And my main focus, my main thing, and I've been saying it for months and months and months and months and months, possibly a year, these fucking titles need to mean something. I mean, seriously, if these titles aren't going to fucking mean something, I don't understand why I have them. You know, the tag titles get thrown in the fucking garbage every fucking couple months, and then they just get coasted on. Motherfuckers just use them as, like, snow sleds and shit, and then just, fucking nobody cares. And you just carry them back up the fucking hill and jump on them again and slide down the hill. And it's used as nothing. It's just like a fill-in fucking match. It's not a credible title. It's not something that, you know, has put a lot of work or thought into what is going to happen. How is this title going to look the best? Let's talk about the best fucking tag team champions in the fucking company. Or not in the company, in wrestling. You know, to walk around and say, we got the best junior heavyweight title. For anyone, light heavyweight title, junior heavyweight title, cruiserweight title, our guy's the shit. You could probably say that about Sammy without a problem. We got the best da-da-da-da. Well, okay, let's run across, like, the match history of Bandido and Azrael. I mean, it's been, like I said, in the middle of two other guys feuding, winning the tag titles off of the Philly's Most Wanted, but then Philly's Most Wanted pretty much going, whatever, I'm feuding with these guys instead. And then not even giving a shit about the tag team titles. And it was just completely thrown aside, and it was like, we have titles. Like, no one cares. And then the world title is like, you know, Devin had it forever, and like I said for a million times, Devin was not a good world title. He was not a good world champion. He's another guy that could do a million things in the ring, but as far as represent the company and be a flagship of the company, he doesn't have enough enthusiasm. He didn't put enough into showing that the company meant shit. He immediately, I'd say even fucking Saturday, he had more fucking fire under his ass climbing the top rope without a belt on his fucking waist. I don't know what it is. I'm sure he can lift fucking far more than that belt, but he looked fucking more hyped up before when he had no fucking belt than he did when he had it. It just didn't fit. It just didn't fit. I honestly think that Devin does just fine within the main event picture, honestly. I have no problem with that either. But as far as the world title, nah. I mean, Ego was fucking great. He's a world champion. Fucking Drake is a world champion. Mox is a world champion. These are guys with the charisma and the personality that makes the company look like we got somebody carrying our shit. Look at this fucking guy. And he's standing there like, you goddamn right. He's cutting the fucking promos. But just like, fucking, dumb champ. Fucking show up next month. Fucking dumb. It's like, and I'm like, all right, man. Yeah. See you next month, buddy. Fucking whatever. You want the fucking belt? Fuck it, I don't give a shit. Fucking cuz. Fucking, all right. That's cool. Do what you want, man. It's all good. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, the title looks really good on a guy who's putting it all out there, the guy who has that personality, that charisma, that does everything like that. And, yeah. Yeah. Even Larry's saying, the dude just leaned there like he didn't give a fuck. So. But. And again, I like Devin. He could do so much in the fucking ring. It's unbelievable. I mean, this guy fucking main event in Cage of Deaths and fucking star pressing off of scaffolds and shit like that. Believe me, he's a fucking asset to the company. There's no maybes about it. But there's people who belong in certain roles, and there's people who don't. And that's my only point about a lot of these guys. Not get rid of them, throw them off the fucking overpass over the fucking arena, which you know, they'd have to travel there because they don't work there right now. But I'm saying, like, I'm not saying fucking get rid of these fucking guys. Da, 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 da. I'm just saying, like, use them differently. There's ways that we can use it. Now, I would love to see this guy brought in. I would love to see this guy brought in. I'm more, like, realistic on how can we make the talent within this company work to the best of the ability of the company. How can this company look the best with the talent it has to work with? And that's the shit I see, and that's why I get so upset, you know, when I look at shit and I'm just like, that doesn't even look like he tried. What the fuck, man? And, you know, that's the shit that I look at. That's, I don't know, man. That's just what I have to say about that. So. What do you think, dude?
Well, I mean, you know, you said about, like, bringing people in. Like, who do you think some guys you want to bring in?
Well, I don't think you need to bring people in order to build the company. I think you bring people in to enhance or accent the company, or there's a lot of people, and they're doing a lot of that shit. Like, even fucking, you know, bringing Willie Mack in for Best of the Best. I mean, that's something that's coming up. Best of the Best, man. They got some good talent lined up for that. You know, and bringing Willie Mack in is a phenomenal fucking call. I like right. that a lot. I think they're going to book a lot of good talent for that. I don't know all of it offhand or anything like that. Let me see.
Well, Sammy's in it. Trent Seven, MK McKinnon.
And I'm not huge fans of those guys, but I haven't seen a whole shitload of their work, so I really can't speak a lot for those two. But I mean, Chuck Taylor's in it.
Alex
whoever
Cologne
the winner.
Is in it.
Yeah, Alex Cologne. Whoever the winner of Aerial Assault is. And the whole nine.
Rich Swann.
Rich Swann, yeah. I would say, honestly, you know, the winner has got to be Sammy, Rich Swann, or A.R. Fox. I think that would be a smart go. Obviously, Willie Mack coming in from PWG. Huge fucking CCW fan favorite over the time. You're going to get a fucking no maybe about it pop if you bring back Super Dragon, whether it's for one shot, whether it's for whatever. I know he doesn't have the best attitude. He's known for, you know, different shenanigans, whatever the case is. But you bring him back for one shot, use him as a fucking mystery opponent for somebody, or whatever you want to do. Bring him in there, let him have a fucking all-out crazy joint like that. You will get a huge fucking pop for him, whether it be mystery opponent or you book him and advertise the shit out of it. You're definitely going to draw with a guy like that because he's been away for a while, he came back, he's blowing shit up on the West again. And, I mean, that's just one of those things. I mean, it'll work. I mean, there's always those guys. You'd be like, that would be great if Loki came in. That would be great if this guy came in. That would be great if this guy came in. And that's fine. I'm all for all those little dream bookings. I really am. But the more important thing is to focus on your core, to focus on your home roster. And that's what I want to see. I know these guys are capable of performing to the top level of the fucking independence, and that's what I'm more focused on that than I am to who you bring in. You worry about fucking bringing in motherfuckers when this fucking core is working. You know, when you can actually see this shit going the way it should be. So.
Right.
That's
pretty
that. Much. Yeah, that's that, as they would say.
What else we got?
Yeah, I don't know. What else we got?
Well, we got a lot of shit to talk about.
We do.
Yeah, we got a lot of fucking notes. I still have like one, two. Unless you want to call it a night.
No, I mean, I'm good. One thing I definitely want to do, I want to do some shout-outs, too, quick, because, I don't want to forget things. I know I plan on giving a lot of shout-outs and stuff like that. Definitely always a shout-out to, you know, my boys over there at the Wrestling Soup, Anthony Missionary Thomas, my dude, and fucking Joey Numbers is the shit. Another person I want to give a shout-out to definitely is Yolanda over there, Gimmick Wrestling Tees, and the Shiznet, of course, on Block Talk. Another person to, you know, check out for sure. Check out her show. Go cop that shirt, man, because... Man, she got them fucking Joker shirts. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're fire, man. Cambodian Axe Murder on the front, one shot, one kill on the back. You know what I mean? And dope logo with the skull and the, you know, the flag over the skull and everything like that, all ripped up, gone through war. That, man, that shirt is off the chain. She's actually hopefully going to be helping us printing out our shirts as well. And, I'm looking forward to that. All of our loyal listeners and all that will be receiving a complimentary shirt. So, I'm very excited for that. And there's different things like that that we're working towards, you know, to make the shit work, to really, push the shit forward and make it much, much better. Yolanda's awesome people. So... Yep, man. Okay, what else you got?
Okay, well, we got Paul was listening earlier, and we have his 1CW show to go over.
Oh, man. Fucking Hellaware Assassin has been on the fucking internet talking about he wants people to fucking fight him in the park in his yard, and he will put up a grand for anyone to knock him out. Well,
why?
Because he's retarded. Apparently, I don't know if he should pay the floor at the building that ICW ran, or 1CW, not ICW, 1CW ran, or if he should pay himself, or what the case is, but he was apparently filming, and he tripped over the ring apron while getting out of the ring, landed square on his fucking head on the concrete, and knocked himself completely out and had to been taken over to the hospital. So he was out for like 3 minutes. A grand. Could be either one there, Larry. Good call, but he said a grand. He actually had money in his hand when he was saying it. So he knocked himself out for like fucking 3 minutes from falling on his face. And the type of guy he is, he has been posting this week. Now he's threatening to sue the guy who, you know, they rent the ring from.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's threatening to sue the guy that they rent the ring from, who apparently, because, you know, you see the responses and all that stuff, he is apparently, like, grew up with this guy and was one of his best friends and all of this stuff and always called him a great guy. And now he's threatening to sue him because he smashed his fucking face on the ground. So the guy who's fucking... challenging people to fight in his yard is now threatening to sue people over tripping. The guy who wants in Carnage Cup, the guy who wants in every tournament of death, King of the Death Match, calls himself the best this and that, spends his week talking about how he's going to fuck every woman in the world and take every woman from their man and blah, 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 blah.
Power Assassin.
He makes some of the funniest fucking posts you will ever read in your goddamn life. One night I'm just going to spend like 40 minutes just reading off of the things he typed. It's fucking comical. He is one of the funniest things I have. I have a lot of those things on my Facebook where they just post funny pictures and like captions and stuff like that. And I still think the Hellaware Assassin has funnier posts than any of those sites. He is fucking unreal. It's J.D. Good is his actual real name. I don't know if he'll add you. I don't know if you don't. He has all sorts of fucking bipolar issues. He might like you. He might not. I don't know why he hasn't deleted me yet, because I've said a good amount of rebuttal to his douchebaggery. But yeah, now he's trying to sue people because that's what deathmatch wrestlers do. I was taking pictures and tripped over a rope that wasn't tightened correctly. I busted my face, and I know I was challenging people to fight me for a grand in my yard to knock me out. However, I think I'm going to sue my friend now.
What the fuck?
Quality
That's my thoughts
human
on his
being.
Fucking career. That's my thoughts on his career. I just fucking did. Yawning.
Yeah.
Yawning.
Him
and
I see
Steve
people
C.
like this, and my first thought is...
You're all a bunch of dumb cunts.
Remember that fucking name, Steve C?
Steve C Wrestling.
No, remember in Hell in Our Assassin Wrestling with Steve C and CZW?
Yes. Yeah, he called himself Steve C W. Steve C Wrestling. And he wrestled Hellaware Assassin. I think it was like Tournament of Death 2 or something. Or one of those Delaware shows. If it wasn't Tournament of Death, it was one of those Delaware shows. It was non-tournament. And and the dude was called like Steve C Wrestling or something like that. So then when people were going CZW, you'd be like, yes, Steve CW. Yeah, it was funny. But they were doing some of the most reckless shit ever. Like, they were swinging, like, they were on the outside, and they would swing a light tube, like, towards the crowd. Like, the dude was, like, taking a shot to the head, but he was, like, standing next to the guardrail, and the other guy was swinging it towards the crowd. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like... Yo, like not even like a big bump, just like reckless swinging of shit towards the motherfucking, oh man. Ugh. So, yeah, man, that's just, yeah.
Okay, so like this one CW show, it had a, Paul posted the results, so big ups to Paul for posting
Paul's
the results.
Awesome. Paul's awesome, he does photography over there.
Does he do
That's
filming too, or no?
No. He does photography. Hellaware
anyway.
Does filming from the floor.
Okay. And he falls.
Yes.
So
they actually, one CW actually did their biggest show to date. They had like 600 plus fucking
648
good attendance. 648. Yeah. Like
yep.
Their biggest show ever. That was actually the afternoon of CZW's epic 13th and abortion show.
Okay, so here's the results for this.
About to go to archive in a minute, so just so you know, guys, we cut off. We will be back on the archive,
okay.
And everybody will be able to listen to all of that afterwards. But we did 3 solid hours live, buddies, so yeah, tune in. We're not done. Go ahead.
Okay. The first match, Brendan Knight wins the Cruiser Scramble over Latin Dragon, Jeremy Hadley, and Blocky.
Yeah, he does.
Ada Marie defeated Candy Cartwright.
Yeah.
The Brotherhood of Adam Flash and Vinny DiMucci defeated
Pretty
Ugly.
Whoa. What was that called?
What?
This is a brotherhood. And we all stick together. Like my nuts.
WWE Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler defeated Christian York by disqualification.
Oh, I'm sure that was fucking unbelievable.
Yo, it probably had the fucking 10 punches in the corner.
Cheer for me, I'm Jerry the King Lawler, yeah.
You probably would love that shit. You probably fucking would be sweating marking out for that shit. You probably like,
Oh, yeah. I'd probably just stand in the crowd and yell some shit like,
hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister.
In the fifth match, Ryan McBride defeated Ricky Reyes to retain the first state title. After the match, McBride challenges Christian York for the 1CW heavyweight title and to unify the first state title and the 1CW heavyweight title.
Ah, all right.
Hardly Faction of Dirty Money, Kindred, and Napalm Bomb defeated Country Strong of Brute Force, Southern Enforcer, and Cousin Earl Cooter with manager Sir Style.
All right.
Sienna defeated Naya. Ryan McBride defeated Christian York to win the 1CW heavyweight title and unified the first state title with the heavyweight title.
Nice.
D-Line defeated the Briscoes for the 1CW tag titles in what was said to be the match of the evening.
Yes, I heard about D-Line. They're apparently a football-themed tag team. They're, you know, like defensive line.
Right.
Like two big-ass black dudes that, yeah, they're like a defensive line. And up against the Briscoes, you know.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Right.
Yep.
Crazy Shea defeated Brian Hardy. Sean Hardy turned on his nephew to give Crazy Shea the assist to win the 1CW Cruiserweight title.
Well, gotta do what you gotta do.
And here's the fucking main event. Former ECW original Rockin' Rebel wins the 30-man Battle Royal to become the number one contender.
There is no racial bigotry here.
So Rebel is going to wrestle Ryan McBride.
Go fuck yourself!
Sorry, Paul. Anyway. Yep. What else you got?
PWG has a show March 17, 2012, with a whole lot of fucking matches announced for this show.
Well, shit, I mean, we got a long time between now and then. We actually got exactly fucking 1 month.
Word, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to fucking talk about it anyway.
Nah.
Four-way tag team madness. An Appetite for Destruction, Super Dragon, and your boy Chaz Bono.
Awesome.
And Steen. Versus Super Smash Brothers of PlayUno and Stupefied versus Rockness Monsters of Johnny Goodtime and Johnny Yuma and the Young Bucks.
Oh.
For the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World title, El Generico will battle Eddie Edwards. Davey Richards takes on Kyle O'Reilly. Willie Mack will wrestle Roderick Strong. Scorpio Sky will wrestle TJ Perkins. And Candice LeRae versus Joey Ryan is happening.
Nice. Yeah, we'll keep up to date on that. We got a long time before that, so.
Yeah, yeah. We also have, what else we have? When the fuck is the, that, do you want to go over that PWS show again?
Nah, we got time before that.
Okay. We got time for that. Okay, so there's some funny news, and we were talking about it earlier. So
funny
this
news.
Is a what-the-fuck kind of moment. So Combat Zone Wrestling owner DJ Hyde will be hosting a tryout seminar prior to the Heartland Wrestling Association event on February 25th. It is open to any trained professional wrestler, and the cost, Jay, is $30.
To train, okay.
With DJ.
Okay.
Also, a cool moment.
Wasn't the seminar with Tommy Dreamer in Philly free?
Yeah.
I think it was in Philly or
and a
Finley
seminar for free.
Yeah, that was free.
In Jersey. Yeah, that was in Jersey.
Oh. All right. I mean, just
for free. DJ's $30.
All right.
Dragon Gate USA will offer its Open the Ultimate Gate 2012 live internet pay-per-view at wwnlive.com on March 30th for $1.99.
Right.
So you can
That's
see
the pay-per-view
for. No, this coming the up there's a live show on March 30th.
Yes.
Open the Ultimate Gate. It's one. It's gonna be. It's gonna cost $1.99 to buy.
That's a live show, though.
Yeah.
And that's what, the Cali joint?
No, that's it's a show coming up. I don't know if that's the, no, the Cali show already happened. This is for the live show. It's coming up soon. The pay-per-view is there's another pay-per-view coming up on March 30th. That's the one where Low-Key's wrestling Pac.
That's Low-Key
I'm pretty
Pac.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Low-Key Pac. They're gonna charge
$2 for the fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Indie
fans, check it out.
Okay, Ring of Honor. We have a Ring of Honor show.
Oh boy.
They have a show this weekend in Friday night in Cincinnati. Briscoes take on Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh god damn it. You know,
what?
I had pulled their promo and all of that, and I was like, this play next week. I got a bunch to talk about. And I didn't think they were wrestling fucking tonight, so Jesus Christ. Oh, well. The promo was awesome. I'll play it next week anyway. So.
Okay. Jay Lethal will take on BJ Whitmer.
Jay will.
Eddie Edwards versus Roderick Strong is happening. No holds barred. Special challenge match, Unbreakable Michael Elgin with Truth Martini versus Adam Cole. And also just signed for the Cincinnati debut is Mike Mondo versus Samson Walker. And that's that. CZW is also proud to announce a partnership with Mexican lucha promotion Lucha Pop.
Yep, Pop.
And to kick off this partnership with Lucha Pop, CZW World Junior Heavyweight Champion Sammy Callahan will defend his title this weekend at Lucha Pop's X Project at the Lucha Pop Arena, Lopez Mateos and Tina Pantilla, Estado de Mexico.
We
and
might need
also
to have a Mexican with Eric.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
That sounds awesome, because that sounded really painful for you.
Yeah, also in action for that show will be Davey Richards, Samurai de Sol, Shima Zion, Tommy Dreamer, Raven, and Super Crazy.
For the record, they actually on Impact tonight, they put they gave Shima Zion the pin in a multi-man match.
Wow.
So obviously they are not faulting him for that, and that's clear results of that. But when is that?
That's this weekend.
This weekend. Wow, really?
Yeah.
They move fast. Wow, they got
yep.
fucking pink handcuffs, and I don't know where this is, but there's like a cop show on my TV.
Okay.
And it's like I guess whatever the fuck is on the Spike TV at this point. And they have fucking bright ass pink handcuffs and fat ass cops that are waddling down hallways. It's awkward. It's awkward.
Hey, NWS has a show this week.
Jail.
Weekend. I'm not reading any of the fucking results. They're running an Elks Lodge.
Yeah, please don't.
Friday night with Tommy Dreamer on the card. Also Saturday, they will have. They're in where the fuck are they? Bloomfield, New Jersey. And Tommy Dreamer will be there. Crowbar and Sandman. And also, Marty Jannetty.
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
Yeah.
But that's that.
We'll be talking trash.
What else do you have? I'm pretty much out of all notes except for the PWF show.
Oh, I'm fresh out.
Okay.
I'm fresh out. I think we could easily call it a night tonight. I gave my shout-outs to Yolanda. Awesome. Check out them gimmick tees. Get over there. You know, Yolanda.
Yolanda.
Jesus, getting so late. Yolanda Jernigan. Go check her out on Facebook. Check out gimmick tees. Check out the shiznit. let her know J Cat sent you. I mean, do the damn thing. And she got some fire ass shirts. The show was fucking highly entertaining. And she's a cool ass chick, so holla at her. So all of that. Do that. My boy's over there at the Wrestling Suit. WrestlingSuit.com. Wrestling-news.net. You can check them over there. You can check them crazy, stupid Italians over there. You can check the Mass Maniacs, retarded ass over there. You can check all sorts of shit out at that site. You know, if you just want to hear just jacked up, juiced fucking Jewish people yell about the fucking past and how Hogan has another run in them, then you could check out Mass Maniac.
Why the fuck are you promoting that show?
I'm promoting a fucking jacked, fucking juiced, fucking Jewish guy who thinks the fucking Hulk Hogan has another run in him. If you think that's
then maybe he should live in Voorhees. Maybe
what?
He should live in Voorhees.
Well, they would love him in Voorhees. He's a little more threatening. They would have him in court really fast, though. He's one of those threatening Jewish people. They'd be like, we'll have you in court. We won't have any of this. You call my lawyers. But yeah, they ain't having that bullshit. Anyway, yeah, you check all these cats out for real. We're going to be getting these shirts up soon. We're going to be getting this production up soon. We're going to be getting commercials up. We're going to be getting all sorts of different things up that hopefully everybody will enjoy. I don't know. I don't give a fuck. And I'm going to keep doing it.
What? What did you just say? We're going to have a TV show? We're going to have a TV show too?
No, I didn't say TV show. Shit.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I might start doing YouTube videos, but that's...
No. I think we're going to go on TV. We're going on Fox, baby.
Oh, well, you go ahead and broker that shit. So anyway, we're getting stupid. So we got to go. Check us out next week for sure, Thursday, but always stay tuned because you never know what else could happen any time of fucking week, but always Thursday, always.
Could happen in 3 hours. We could do a show at 3:00 in the morning.
Yeah, but there's probably a 99.9% chance that shit ain't going to happen. So, however, I would just say, for Eric Williams, I am J. Cat Morris. We'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Yatch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, depending on what this soundbite is meant for, Yakuza Kick fucking Radio, hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, but then he popped back in like he's the Andy Sumner, the hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with his three questions. So tune in next time, because fucking, yeah, Yakuza Kick Radio, something.
The shit is bananas, bananas.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio! And we're taking over!
You don't understand, goddammit!